about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. What would you do if you were elected about Aleppo?
About
Aleppo.
And what is Aleppo?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Next customer.
Can I get a kid's meal?
I don't see no kids.
Yeah, I don't have a kid with me. I'm gonna eat it.
Well, only a kid can order a kid's meal.
That's not true. I know that's not true.
Oh, yeah, it is. Only a kid can order it.
So a kid has to wait in line and order a kid's meal. A kid can't get an adult meal.
Look here, sir. You have to be 14 or younger to get a kid's meal. I've just been made day manager, and I didn't get that title by handing out discounted meals.
I don't know. Ask Tori Spelling's mom.
Y'all are killing it right now.
Gimme, 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 gimme.
Balls.
And now.
We're miracle matchers. We make miracles happen.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday morning, the 19th of September.
Hey, K-Rox Kevin.
What's happening?
Hey, Bean.
Hey, K-Rox Ally McKay.
Bean?
Ally's my TV friend, and it's been very difficult the last 2 weeks not being able to talk about Atlanta with her.
Yes.
Kevin, are you on board yet?
I'm not, no.
Oh, what's wrong with you?
Well, I have a life.
Come on. Okay, that's a great point.
So it makes it difficult to squeeze in new stuff, but I'm recording and I can't wait.
It's short.
Can't wait.
You can binge maybe 7 episodes that FX sends you right away, which I did.
Is it Children's Hospital short?
It's a little longer.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a half-hour show, so it's, 24 minutes or whatever it is. But it's my favorite show on TV right now. And you, Kevin, you will love it.
I believe you.
So try to watch yourself some Atlanta.
I will try.
Okay. All right. Well, it's good to be back, you guys. I missed some of you.
Oh.
Do we have to guess?
No.
I don't want to.
Okay. No, I think that's enough. Okay. And I know we have a very exciting program to start with today, but I have a story to get us going. We still do that, right?
Sure.
Sure.
This is a guy in Kansas City, and his name is John Ripple, and he decided to rob a bank.
Right.
And like so many others have done, he plotted it out.
Hey, Bean.
And he went down to the Brotherhood Bank and Trust in the Riverview neighborhood there of Kansas City, and he had a note, and it said, "I have a gun. Give me money."
Hey, Bean.
So he walks up to the teller. What? I'm telling a story about the thing.
Okay, go ahead.
So he walks up to the teller, and he hands her the note. Now, ordinarily, when you're robbing a bank, that's when you hightail it out of there, right? Because the goal is to not get caught.
Exactly.
Instead, though, he does not leave the bank. He does not head for a getaway car. He makes no attempt to escape whatsoever.
That doesn't make any sense.
None.
He approaches a chair in the bank's lobby and plops himself down.
What?
And just waits. It just sits there and waits, knowing that the Kansas City Police Department is on the same block as the bank.
Waits for what?
That's what
well,
I'm saying.
It turns out.
This is the craziest story I've ever heard.
3 times. I can't go on. The listeners alerted me that this was a story that needed to be done every 24 hours on the Kevin and Bean Show. So I'm just trying to keep up the bit, I guess.
You're doing good work.
Am I?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was having trouble with his wife at home, so he'd just rather be in jail than be at home. So that's what happened to that guy.
Right.
All right. You got time for one more?
Sure.
I love this guy, and I thought of you, Kevin. Euclid, Ohio. Did you already cover this guy?
Don't know.
Euclid, Ohio.
We don't know about the city.
Well, it's a pretty unforgettable town name.
Okay.
Accused of egging a former neighbor's house more than 100 times.
Ew.
That's some dedication right there.
That's my point.
Yeah.
That's some Robert Joyner kind of stuff.
More than 100 times.
That's a professional.
Wow.
Can you believe that in the course of all of the articles that I have read about this story with Jason Kozan, 31, by the way, not 16, 31, there's no indication in any of the news reporting as to what his problem was with the neighbor.
Think that would be a big part of the story.
You would think so. Aren't you like dying to know what a guy could have done to another guy that would have you go by tonight and egg your house and then come back tomorrow and egg your house?
Yeah.
And then the next day and egg your house.
That's
more
a lot
than
of eggs.
100 times.
It gets expensive.
Right?
It does seem like a waste of food. I have to tell you.
That
Euclid
too.
police department conducted lengthy investigation that included undercover stakeouts. Can you imagine
really?
Those police officers? What are we doing sitting outside this guy's house waiting to see if he gets egged again? Neighborhood canvassing. Detectives even sent the eggshells to crime lab for testing.
Come on.
The company nearby painted the house for free in May because eggs had damaged much of the existing paint. But he has accepted a plea deal, by the way. He's ordered to pay a $1,000 fine, and he will avoid any jail time. It's a misdemeanor charge of inducing panic is what he was convicted of.
Inducing panic?
Inducing panic because apparently the people lived in the house were fearful every day that he was going to drive by and egg their house.
Huh.
Anyway, I need to know what Mr. Kozan's story is.
I don't feel like you do, but... It would be nice to know.
Sure. But you said it best, Kevin. That's dedication. When
right.
you've egged your neighbor's house 30 times, don't you feel like your point is made?
Yeah, maybe I move on to something else.
Right.
Yeah.
How at 60 times do you still have the energy? What can be left that feels good after you've done it 80 times? How are you still egging your neighbor's house? I can't get my head around
that. That's
this,
a great dude. Work ethic right there.
I guess so.
He's very reliable.
Okay. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Let me ask you a question, son. Are you a dick?
Oh.
A little early to answer that, but I'd probably have to go with yes. On the program today, we have Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network.
Yeah, we do.
Full recap of this weekend's games. We have Eddie Braun, who's the guy that jumped over the Snake River Canyon.
In a rocket.
Yeah, when we had him in, we liked Mr. Braun very much, and our fear was that was one of the last times we would see him alive. But he made it.
He did make it.
Well, spoiler alert.
Well, I mean, we're talking to him.
We have him on the phone.
Okay,
so,
right.
Yeah, so
he either made it or didn't make it, but he's still alive. That's the good part. 113-year-old man got a bar mitzvah. Oh. Tell you about that today. Matthew Bellany from the Hollywood Reporter with a complete recap of the Emmys.
He was at the parties till after midnight, so he's going to be feeling good.
Excellent. Bean, we're going to talk to Frankie McDonald today.
Frankie McDonald. That's very exciting. We've never had him on the show before, right?
I don't think so. I think we've played audio from him many times, but I don't think we've ever actually had a conversation with him.
There's no Frayne coming to L.A., is there?
I'm not positive. We'll have to ask him. Harvey Levin from TMZ, like we do, and a complete recap of the Emmy, some of the audio from that show last night. That's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
By the way, no one went to the Rams game yesterday, right?
No.
No.
Didn't see the Red Hot Chili Peppers performing?
Did not, no.
Ahead of the game? Well, they're coming to Staples Center, as you know, on March 7th, right around the corner. Giving away tickets all day today on K-Rock, starting at 9 a.m. Plus, you're qualified for a trip to see the band in a place called New Orleans, which I think is in Louisiana. So sometime between now and 9 and 4, you win your Red Hot Chili Pepper tickets for the Staples Center show. You qualify for the trip to New Orleans, and that's handed out at 5 o'clock this afternoon.
And so extra bonus, you get to stay with Bean.
Well, I don't know. That's awesome.
Pretty cool, right?
That's great.
Nice of
Bean
to do that.
That's part of the deal.
I'm really glad about that.
Exciting.
Sounds
fun.
But anyway, 9 o'clock this morning, win your Chili Peppers tickets. It's Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, 5:53. Our friend Ralph Garman steps in. Hey, Ralph.
How'd your Saints do, Bean? I didn't see any.
They're not my Saints.
What do you mean they're not your Saints?
They did lose, but they are not my Saints.
Well,
I'm
why aren't they
still
your
a Seahawks fan. Because I'm a Seahawks fan.
Why? But you were a Seahawks fan just because you moved to Seattle. Now you moved to New Orleans. You should be a Saints fan.
No, it doesn't work like that. I didn't have a team that I followed or cared about when I moved to Seattle. That's the difference.
Oh, so when the Seahawks started winning, then you adopted them.
Oh, no. I adopted them from day one in Seattle. I suffered through four terrible Seahawks seasons before they won anything.
I see.
But, no, thank God for DirecTV and the NFL package. I am able to still suffer the heartbreak of watching the Seahawks not be able to score a touchdown for an afternoon.
Yeah.
Sweet.
It was a hot day yesterday. Hot yeah, out was. There at the Coliseum. Not for Seattle, but for everyone in the stands.
Look, I feel terrible, but if you don't score a touchdown, you don't deserve to win a game.
Well,
there's that.
The Rams didn't, right?
Yeah, true.
I'm not saying you don't sometimes
win, but you don't deserve to.
Oh, sure.
But
do.
I do know that Little Russell is hurt, and
Little
he'll get better.
Russell?
His penis? Your penis got hurt?
No.
It's Little Russell. Who calls him that?
That's his best Bean's name for his penis.
No.
Your penis got hurt, Bean? I'm sorry to hear that.
Russell Wilson is a small person, so I sometimes refer to him as Little Russell. Because he's tiny. He's
yeah, we get it.
Okay.
It's all right.
Anyway, it hurt. But you got Monday Night Football tonight for you, Ralph, right?
I do, yeah.
Very exciting.
The Eagles versus the Bears. 5:30 kickoff.
Nice.
It's Monday morning, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Sully, in its second week, had another big weekend. $22 million made it number one.
I saw that.
What?
In a theater?
I did.
What?
Bean?
Wow.
Bean, is that you?
What have you done with Bean?
This is one of those Bean impersonators we've heard so much about.
Yep.
I see.
Like the Tom Brady mask
right?
with the Bean voice?
Exactly.
I think it was the first film I saw in the theater this year.
This decade.
But I enjoyed it very much.
All right.
Blair Witch debuted to $9.7 million, making it number two. Bridget Jones's Baby was third with $8.2 million. Snowden and Don't Breathe were your top five films. Then When the Bell Breaks, Suicide Squad, The Wildlife, Kubo and the Two Strings, and Pete's Dragon were your top 10 movies at the box office. Last night, of course, it was all about the Emmys. Emmy recap coming up shortly, but a partial list of some of the big winners last night. Jimmy Kimmel, by the way, did a terrific job.
That's what I thought.
As the host. Really, really very clever. His off-the-cuff stuff was just spot on. Really spectacular. Although I would like to say to not just Jimmy, but all hosts of all award shows, you don't need to hand out any food. We don't need to stop down the show at any point and say, this is a long event. We should all get a snack. So you don't need to order pizza. You don't need to hand out sandwiches. You don't need. We understand that it's long, and by you stopping the show to hand out food, in essence, you are making that event longer.
Unless they hand out food to us, the viewer at home as well.
There you go.
If there's a knock on the door.
They say about class: if you don't have enough for the whole class,
right.
You can't eat. Right?
Exactly.
Share with everyone.
What about the?
We get that bit, and we got it, and okay. And thanks. And now let's give out more awards.
What about the joke in every single awards show in the final hour where you come on and go, well, there's only 90 minutes left.
See, we know it's long is what my point is to that as well. We understand it's an evening of length, and we've all settled in, and we're aware of that. We've paid our price of admission. We understand the premise. Let's just move it along.
It is not a short show.
It's not. We got that.
There's a lot of minutes in it.
I understand. Midway, people
might get real hungry.
You might get hungry, yeah. Or it might be a long show.
Right.
Those things are a given. I'm saying by addressing them, you're even adding to the problem, not really helping. And the payoff really minimal.
Is watching people eat.
Yeah. All right. Here's some of your winners. Drama series, Game of Thrones. Best comedy series, Veep. I was so happy for those guys. This is so well done. Tatiana Maslany finally got her just desserts as lead actress in a drama series for Orphan Black. Outstanding lead actor in a drama series was Rami Malek in Mr. Robot. Mally Ramek's date for the evening? Did she really need to pop out her phone and start recording him on stage while he gave his speech? What moment in his life could be better recorded by history than that moment? All the cameras... Oh, we're on him.
Yeah.
That
true.
Footage will be very available for her to enjoy for the remainder of her life.
From a lot of different angles, I assume.
She was just completely missing the moment of her beloved while he was up there by looking through her phone.
That's pretty sweet.
My head exploded.
It's in 1080 on her DVR at
Couldn't
home.
Couldn't be
right
better.
Now.
Couldn't be a better video of that moment taken by anyone ever. She didn't need that. Didn't need the shaky iPhone version, I don't think. Congratulations to lead actor in a comedy series, Jeffrey Tambor, once again for his work in Transparent. Lead actress in a comedy series, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, as Selena Meyer in Veep. She's the best. What a great speech last night, too. Wow, rip your heart out.
So good.
And, of course, The People vs. O.J. Simpson, American Crime Story 1 for Best Limited Series. So, there you go. I was sad to see John Travolta's toupee did not win anything. I was really rooting for it. But we'll have to wait and see. Today's celebrity birthdays. I do not have the list here with me, but I know what matters. I know there's only one birthday that matters.
Yeah.
Steve's
birthday?
Just Steve?
Is it Steve's birthday?
Yeah.
Oh. Adam West. TV's Adam West. Batman. Adam West celebrates his 88th birthday today. Other wrestlers, other birthdays today are wrestler Eva Marie. She's 32 years old. Danielle Panabaker is 29. And Jimmy Fallon, a beloved talk show host who likes to pet racists. Saw that the other night. That was interesting. He's 42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I just want to echo what Ralph Garman said a minute ago, which is, how about Jimmy Kimmel being one of the best awards hosts I've ever seen last night on the Emmy broadcast?
I agree.
He was incredible. Entertainment Weekly, by the way, said the same thing. Listen to this. In his second stint as Emmy host, he commanded the ceremony with an easy, breezy, confident, sharp, chop-busting jokes and a cool but not too smug deadpan delivery. He took some risks. Not everything worked. People masturbate to Game of Thrones. But his ballsiness flattered him and often paid off. I thought he was great. And so, I'm just so proud of him, you know?
Our little Jimmy. Great singers in there.
Yeah,
like,
they really
you
were.
Had to be paying attention
yeah.
to get a lot of it. It was great.
He came out at the beginning and started talking about Marsha Clark, who was with Sarah Paulson from that show, The People vs. O.J. Simpson.
I'd also like to acknowledge the winner of tonight's Plus One contest, Sarah Paulson, who played Marsha Clark and actually brought Marsha Clark with her tonight. That's a guess. Because everyone in L.A. knows if you want to win, sit next to Marsha Clark. Hi, Marsha. This must be very strange for you, right? I mean, are you rooting for O.J. to win this time?
Well, see, Beer Mug, if you're listening, because Marsha Clark prosecuted O.J. Simpson and he was acquitted. That's why the comedy there. Jimmy also took a second to blame Donald Trump on Mark Burnett, which I thought was great.
Television can also tear us apart. I mean, if it wasn't for television, would Donald Trump be running for president? No. He would be at home right now, quietly rubbing up against his wife, Malaria, while she pretends to be asleep. Many have asked, who is to blame for Donald Trump, the Donald Trump phenomenon? And I'll tell you who, because he's sitting right there. That's right. Mark Burnett, the man who brought us Celebrity Apprentice. Thanks to Mark Burnett, we don't have to watch reality shows anymore because we're living in one. Thank you, Mark.
And the camera was on him for a long time.
Yeah, it was.
And he was not enjoying it. Let's see. What else do we want to do? I want to do this. When Jimmy did this, I gasped. Everybody in the room gasped. And everybody was just dying to see what happened.
Ladies and gentlemen, four-time Emmy Award winner, Dr. Bill Cosby.
Nobody comes out yet.
He's not. Don't worry. He's not really here. I just wanted to see what you guys would do.
That was so great. So great. There was just panic on their faces, right?
Everybody
like,
oh was
God.
Frozen.
How do we respond to this?
Hi, is he going to show up? Are you kidding?
And then he just walked out and just played it off like that. That was so great. After In Memoriam.
Oh, jeez.
Where they pay tribute to everybody that passed away. Jimmy, I guess, issued a challenge.
This might be a weird thing to say, but that In Memoriam montage kicked ass. It's going to be tough to beat next year. It really is. We'll dig deep. We can do it if we work together, everybody.
By the way, you guys may know the answer to this question. I don't. How people like Merle Haggard and Prince and Muhammad Ali were in that In Memoriam? You know, all notable figures had passed this year. Mm-hmm. But did it strike you as odd that they were in a television In Memoriam?
Well,
no, it didn't strike me that way. But when you say it, yeah.
Yeah. And there was a novelist. I thought that that's odd. It was kind of a weird grouping. But if you think about it, Prince was in Purple Rain, which is a movie. Maybe
which is a movie.
So
that has
no,
shown on TV.
Right. I have seen it on TV.
Okay, so maybe.
Merle Haggard, I have seen on country music television.
Okay.
Struck
me as odd. I mean, look, there are significant losses. I just was surprised to see him in that form as well. Julia Louis-Dreyfus won Best Actress in a Comedy for the fifth year in a row.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And came out and apologized.
While I'm apologizing, I'd also like to take this opportunity to personally apologize for the current political climate. I think that Veep has torn down the wall between comedy and politics. Our show started out as a political satire, but it now feels more like a sobering documentary. So I certainly do promise to rebuild that wall and make Mexico pay for it.
And then she went on with maybe the most human moment of the night, where she said her dad had passed away this past Friday. And she dedicated it to him, and she broke down crying. It was really amazing.
Yeah. It was. She was barely something. Holding it together. I mean, I guess it's kind of a surprise she was even there, you know. But yeah. I'm sure it was a very difficult night for her.
They asked Larry David to present an award. And Larry David, of course, the guy behind the Seinfeld show. And he came out, and he just explained what it takes to be a presenter.
You got to be able to open an envelope, read a few words, and most importantly, act like you're interested. Hey, come on. I go out on dates. Believe me. I not act like I'm interested. Nobody feigns interest like me. Tell me more about your niece. You say she enjoys tap dancing? Oh, that's fascinating. You must send me a video. And how's your cookie business? Is it true there's a shortage of chips? A chip crisis? Oh, you poor thing. And when do you suppose we'll have sex?
He was so funny.
Don't you sometimes feel that Larry David is doing a Larry David character?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, except for that. I mean, that really is him. But
that really is him, though. Yeah,
seemed like that. Yeah,
and he said it was the first time he'd ever presented at the Emmys too, which I was so surprised at. With all of the years of Curb Your Enthusiasm and everything else, it was really surprising to hear that.
Jimmy Kimmel was up for best talk show host. I don't remember what category it was in. By the way, the categories are all weird for me. I don't get it.
I think he was up for best variety show.
Yeah, best variety.
Yeah,
and Transparent was a comedy in the comedy category. Like, I don't quite understand all of that, but Jimmy was up for the award and he didn't win it. And then his friend Matt Damon came out and interrupted him.
What do you want?
Just calm down, man. I missed the last category. Did you win?
No, we didn't win, all right? And
you must be really bummed out.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed. You done?
Wait, who did get a trophy? Who won?
John Oliver. He was just out of here. What do you mean, who won?
I had him in my pool.
Do you mind if I continue with the show?
No, I mean, oh, I'm sorry. What am I doing? This is so humiliating. I'm sorry. I mean, you lost, and now you got to stand out here for the rest of the night in front of everybody. That's really... No, I mean, when you probably just want to go home and curl up and cry. I'm sorry, but let's... Hey, can we cheer Jimmy up? How about... He's a big loser. Big round of applause.
No, big loser. I don't want a big round of applause. I don't need pretty applause.
No, you're
not a big loser.
You're a pretty big loser. Okay, I'll see you later at the after party.
There's an after party?
Never mind.
He's eating an apple, by the way.
Oh, hey, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Tell your mom I like them apples.
Come on, that was solid.
Yeah.
They really are one of the great love stories of our time, Matt and Jimmy, aren't they?
Totally.
More highlights coming up a little bit later on in this morning's Kevin and Bean Show.
Our favorite weathercaster, Frankie McDonald, coming to us live from Nova Scotia, Canada, is going to be on the air with us on the Kevin and Bean Show in about 10 minutes or so here on KROQ. First, though, it is Monday morning. That means we go to the TMZ.com newsroom and check in with our good friend Harvey Levin. Hey, Harvey.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Great to talk to you. I was thinking about you last night, that wonderful acceptance speech from Sarah Paulson, who won an Emmy for her portrayal as Marsha Clark on The People vs. O.J. Simpson. And she basically took time to speak for so many people in this country and apologize for Marsha Clark about what we've been thinking about her for the last 20 years. What did you think of that moment? And do you think that this really is kind of a reinvention of Marsha Clark in a lot of people's eyes?
Okay. First of all, full disclosure, I got really bored with the Emmys, and I was doing something, so I didn't watch.
All right. Okay? Fair enough.
But I know the whole story about, that Marsha Clark... Listen,
O.J. killed two people.
Look, here's the thing. Marsha Clark was a fiercely dedicated DA, and Marsha Clark was was committed to this case, believed in this case, and made a number of huge mistakes.
Right.
And was completely outclassed by the defense.
Right.
Okay? I mean, that's just the reality. I was there for every minute of that trial. And, you know, look, the way she portrayed her, it had more to do with the backstory of, you know, the sexism and everything else. And for that, you know, look, Marsha Clark fought a lot. And she did. And I remember, you know, when she changed her hair and she was attacked and all of this stuff, it was terrible. Uh-huh. But when you get down to the trial, they did a terrible job.
Yeah.
I was going to use a really bad word. I can't believe it. They had the coroner on the stand for 8 days.
Oh. Yeah.
8 days.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, and juries get bored. And, you know, it's theater to some extent, but also you've got blood going from the bodies at Bundy into O.J. Simpson's bathroom at Rockingham. You've got Ron and Nicole's blood in the Bronco. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got a cut in his finger. You've got a million things.
But Harvey, is this all on her, Or is there on the jurors? Is there someone because they had a great defense lawyer?
Listen, some is on the jurors for sure. There was payback for Rodney King, and some is on Chris Darden. The glove thing was one of the most shocking things I've ever seen in a case.
Sure, right.
It still, every time I think about it, it's so unbelievable that you would think you give this guy who's, you know, an actor a glove and say, put it on and make it fit. Right. You know,
with plastic gloves underneath it, too.
Right, with plastic underneath it. So, you know, look, there were a million mistakes in this trial. And, you know, she was outclassed.
Yeah, she was.
Made mistakes.
That's a good perspective.
I don't know, man.
That's a good perspective, but I do think and we'll move on to the Coolio thing in a second, but I do think that the one thing that show did is give us a more three-dimensional view of Marcia Clark's life rather than just what we saw in the courtroom.
I'm not going to move on until I say, I think, again, she was really dedicated, and she really fought for, you know, her right as a woman in the workplace appropriately. You know, I mean, she did, you know, it was true. I remember the part where somebody in the defense team made a joke about the fact that she had child care issues. And I remember sitting there back then just thinking, oh my God, I can't believe they did that. And she stood up and she really did rail. The way it's portrayed in the show really did happen. And she was good. I mean, she was so indignant that she did a lot, I think, in many ways, because people watched it. She really did kind of change the culture, and she made people feel really bad about how you focused on a woman in court and was, you know, would be obsessed with hair and wardrobe and criticize, and I don't know. I mean, I think for that, she did an awful lot.
I agree. She gets a lot of credit for that, but if they'd had a man lead in that case, maybe O.J. would have been convicted, too, right?
Oh,
right.
That's the point, though, right? No.
All right, on TMZ.com.
Before we get into Coolio, did you see what happened with Johnny Cochran? Did you see Kimmel last night?
Oh, that was so funny.
It was the line of the night,
wasn't it?
Well, Carl Douglas, who was part of the O.J. case, who was mentored by Johnny Cochran, was furious at it and said that, you know, he thought it was just horribly offensive.
It was.
I knew Johnny well, and I was upset with what he did in the case, but looking back, he represented the guy.
Yeah, he's a terrible human being, though. I was happy with the joke. Jimmy said somewhere he's looking up at us right now.
I know.
So good.
I got to tell you, it's funny because I think, you know, one of the things I find really offensive about these awards is the way these actors are bullies, and they get on stage and they talk about, you know, you're the devil if you support somebody that I don't. Mm-hmm. And they did that last night in true form. But then, you know, they did that with Johnny Cochran. He did so much for the black community in L.A. in terms of police violence, where he was fighting against police brutality way before this became a national issue. And it's interesting that they took him apart that way.
No, I think that's a really good point. I think it was hard for people to watch someone they thought was guilty get off, even though we live in a country where we are guaranteed a defense by our Constitution. I mean, that's the law. That's how court is supposed to work. And I think that's hard for people to deal with.
He did his job.
He did his job. Exactly. I agree. All right. Harvey Levin, TMZ.com. Here's the headline from the site. Coolio, the whole gun arrest thing, a little misunderstanding. Now, how is it a misunderstanding if you have a stolen, loaded weapon in your carry-on luggage?
Well, it even gets better than that. So he's going to the We Love the 90s concert in Indio on Saturday, and he puts a bag on the conveyor belt, and there's a loaded gun in there. So a member of his crew takes the fall and says, it's my bag.
Right.
So they stop the guy, because the guy admits it, and they let Coolio go in the plane. So all of a sudden, the TSA guys start rooting through the bag, and they realize it's Coolio's bag. Everything in there is Coolio's. Mm-hmm. And they realize that the guy just took the fall. So they go in the plane, they yank him off the plane, and they arrest him for the crime of felon possessing a firearm. And so they take him to jail, and they book him. And then he comes out the next day, and he's at P.F. Chang's, and he's eating at P.F. Chang's, and he calls her, that's a little misunderstanding.
Yeah, it was just a little misunderstanding, no big deal.
Is he in a lot of trouble, Harvey?
Well, yeah, but, you know, here's the thing, and it's so weird. I don't know if you remember, Was it Dennis Farina? And there are so many people who go through TSA, and you would think that you know, a gun is top of mind.
Yes.
For some reason, it isn't. And people who, like, put a gun in a certain place, and if they put it in that place where it's like a luggage or something you would carry, they forget. Now, I don't know what was in his head, but I've seen this with a bunch of cases where people, because when you think about it, who the hell is going to take a loaded gun and put it through the on the conveyor belt thinking you're going to get away with it?
Yeah, he clearly must have forgotten about it, but that doesn't change the fact that he had a loaded gun there.
Well, it doesn't, but it does in terms of what they're going to do in terms of prosecuting him, because, you know, ultimately, I doubt he was going on the plane to do harm on the plane.
Did they charge Coolio with felony hair that looks like antlers? Did they do that?
No, that's a misdemeanor.
I see. Okay.
I do love that he has little holes in the top of his baseball cap so that he has some place to stick his hair up. It's so funny to see.
I think that's amazing that, you know, he's fashion forward that way.
Sure.
All right, TMZ and TMZ Live on Fox Channel 11, TMZ Sports. Of course, there's Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. Don't forget, get your tickets for the TMZ tour as well. It's all available at TMZ.com. Harvey Levin, we appreciate the time, sir. We'll do it again next week.
Okay, guys. We'll
Thank
see.
You, sir.
Frankie McDonald is on the phone on Twitter at Frankie MacD. His YouTube channel is called Dogs and Wolves. Hey, Frankie, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great so far.
It's really great to talk to you. What's the weather like in Nova Scotia this morning?
Right now, it's not raining outside, but it's humid in Sydney, Nova Scotia right now. It's going to bring a lot of rain later on today in Sydney, Nova Scotia. It's going to bring lots of rain in New England, United States, including Mid-Atlantic, including Boston, New York, Washington, D.C., Pittsburgh, Philadelphia.
Wow, that's a big storm. Do you like winter time, Frankie, because there's a lot more exciting weather to talk about than during the summer?
I like wintertime on the internet because and YouTube, and I like fall and spring in person.
Frankie, have you always been excited about weather when you were a kid?
Yes. When I was a little boy, I wanted to grow up. I wanted to be a weatherman. I used to watch the Weather Network a lot when I was a little boy. Back in 2007, I did the very first video of the scenery on December 27, 2007.
What's your favorite?
Back on December 16, 2009, I did the very first video of myself. Then in June 2010, I did a severe earthquake warning for California in September 2010 video. That was my very first viral video. And I made it the Tosh.0 comedy show. And I continue to do my videos. And I've been doing a great job all the time. Lots of people are watching me on the internet, especially with the bad weather. People are taking my advice when it's a bad weather headed their way, especially winter storms, hurricanes, tropical storms, tropical cyclones, typhoons, and other bad weather and heat waves.
You definitely have a ton of fans, over 13 million hits. Do you have a particular favorite kind of weather to forecast? Do you get really excited about a storm or a tornado or a hurricane? What's your favorite?
Like hurricane storms and tornadoes and massive blizzards and massive snowstorms and all those other bad weather as well, including real bad weather all the time, including winter months.
So our weather here in California must be boring for you because it's just sunny and kind of the same thing every day.
When it's a big rainstorm heading for California in January, I warned you guys too.
Yeah, you
did. Just like I did a weather report in California back in January 2016.
That's right. One of the things that we first fell in love with your reports about, Frankie, is all of the different advice that you give on how people should be prepared if there are storms. You have quite a checklist of things that you want people to keep in mind in the event of bad weather, right?
Yes.
Okay.
tell us about your bobblehead. How did this come about?
My bobblehead is coming along great and still sell them on Amazon website. Quite a few people buy my bobbleheads and my bobbleheads made it the National Bobbleheads Hall of Fame and Museum in Wisconsin, and as for my bobbleheads, and if people can order my bobbleheads on Amazon website and National Bobbleheads Hall of Fame in Wisconsin's website, and my next bobblehead's going to be me wearing a kilt, McDonald's kilt.
All right.
You're Scottish. I like it.
When if people order it, it has online, I'll go to the Hef USA website for people in the United States of America. Go to the Hef USA website to order your Hef so reduce your lower back pain injury risk during winter months when it's shoveling snow in the winter time. And type in coupon code Frankie to get 20% off.
Does wow, Frankie have deals?
Does Frankie have more endorsements than we do?
Yes.
What's happening?
Frankie is totally sponsored. Yes, I love
does.
It.
He is. Frankie, I love your bobblehead so much, and I am totally going to go to Amazon.com and buy one. Tell everybody what it says on your T-shirt on the bobblehead.
On the bobblehead, it says, be prepared.
Be prepared. That's good advice.
My current version, my bobblehead is me wearing my winter coat.
Right. How much does it cost, Frankie?
It costs around $30.
Around 30 bucks. Okay.
Excellent.
All right. So what's left for you to accomplish, Frankie? What else do you want to do that you haven't been able to do yet? Now that you've been on TV so much and you've been on radio so much and you have your popular channel, you've got a bobblehead. What's next?
There's Ben Campbell down in Texas. He's making my action figures right now. Nice.
You have action figures. Okay, good.
My action figures are coming soon. And Ben Campbell down Texas is making them.
Okay. All right. Well, it sounds like everything's going great for you, Frankie. We hope you continue to do the weather for a long time because I don't know what we'd do without your reports.
Yes, I do my dance videos and I do my own comedy show. I'm now doing technology videos. I heard a Samsung Galaxy Note 7 recall. People had to voluntarily return your Samsung Galaxy Note 7 smartphones to carriers, stores, and retailers because of the battery issues. Now their Samsung 6 and Galaxy Note 7 issues, battery issues. After a while, it's going to be ready. It's going to be shipped in stores. And my favorite smartphone all the time is Samsung Galaxy Note 7.
Wow, you're branching out. Not just weather, but technology. This
technology
is exciting.
And comedy? Is there nothing this man can't do? All right, Frankie. Well, listen, you're very nice to come on the show today. We really appreciate it. We wish you continued success, okay?
Yes. I got over 19 million views total on my YouTube channel. I got over 88,000 subscribers on my YouTube channel.
Yes, you do. Congratulations, right. And thanks for talking to us today, Frankie. We appreciate it.
Go to the Hef USA website to order yourself a hat for it. Anyone living in the United States of America, type in coupon code Frankie to get 20% off when you order Hef on the Hef USA website.
Okay, I think what we were looking for is, thanks, Kevin, and be nice to talk to you, too.
Nice to talk to you.
Thanks, Frankie.
Bye. Bye-bye, Frankie.
Frankie. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:53.
Our friend...
What happened?
He's dancing.
I'm entertaining Allie.
Oh,
I'm doing the Corey.
But you do it and you stare at me so intently.
Yeah.
And then when I look away, you do. I can't.
Excuse
right
me, Ralph. Can I ask Allie a question? Is Ralph entertaining you?
A little bit.
Okay. Yeah, all right then.
Are you not entertained?
Matt Bellany, executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter, was at the Emmys last night in the room and also at the after parties, and he'll be joining us next hour here on The Kevin Bean Show. Ralph, you made reference to doing the Corey. I was on vacation, so I missed Corey Feldman on the Today Show.
Oh, you're a loser of mythic proportions.
And I didn't care enough to track that one down.
Oh, you're a fool.
I heard that he did a performance and it was embarrassingly bad. Is
you're
there more
a fool,
to it than that?
No. It's worse than embarrassingly bad. It's fascinatingly bad. You would love it.
It's mind-bending that something of this caliber was not vetted before it reached a major television network program.
Yeah, you'll watch it and say, how did that ever happen on the Today Show?
Usually you used to have to go to cable access to find something like this, which I loved. I used to love cable access because you could turn on a channel and you'd see all the loons would show up and they'd do their stuff. And I always found that endlessly entertaining. I'm not saying even this Corey Feldman thing wasn't entertaining. But it was an odd juxtaposition to see it on the Today Show.
Yeah, it made no sense.
Is it possible he did a more straightforward performance in rehearsals and then just brought out, you know,
maybe
the crazy when it was on air live?
No, what? Why are you booking Corey Feldman, who's got his self-produced download album? When they showed the cover art for the album, they showed it on a phone.
Okay.
I'm not.
So this the whole thing was pretty low rent.
This is. It was insane.
It was insane.
And it got more insane as the thing went on.
I may have to go back and
you have to do it. You'll love it.
For those of you who didn't see Go For It, the name of the song that Corey and Corey's Angels, his backup band.
Sure.
Who, by the way, the best of my, what I could see, not playing their instruments. They were on the Today Show promoting his new album. And it was weird from top to bottom because he came out there and he started talking about the girls, the angels, Corey's angels. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, these are my angels and I give them a chance to turn their dreams into reality. Some of these girls are down on their luck, so I bring them in and everything. Had a weird, creepy tone about his backup band, who all look like young model types,
right.
Wannabes. And then he launched into the song, which was a series of dance moves.
He thinks he's Michael Jackson, first of all.
Well, obviously he's got a big obsession with Michael Jackson, always has. And the delusion, he's got a self-deluded persona where he thinks he's Hugh Hefner / Michael Jackson. And then he started to dance beyond. And that wasn't like, oh, he's a little off. Like, so you think you can dance early audition reality show type dancing. And then he launched into the song, which is awful. Lies they tarnish you, try to abolish you. Spin your good deeds until they become badness. They match your name with shame. They point and laugh at you that nobody knows their name. Yeah, the song's awful. Music's
Why
awful.
Why do they book him on the Today Show?
I can't understand it at all. But what really threw me, which was... First of all, then there was an outpouring of mocking him on the social media. And then there was a backlash to the mocking.
What?
Where now we're bullies for calling him out on the fact that that was BS.
But that was BS.
Right.
What about that?
But now we're the bullies. And here's the thing about bullying. It's like a lot of good intentioned things when people talk stop the hate and stop bullying and stuff. It happens a lot with good intentioned messages. I think is that some people can take that and then twist it to their own aims. To like everything becomes there's no line anymore between what's actual criticism and now you're just bullying me. He went on Facebook Live and posted a video, crying in the video. About the reaction people had to his song on the Today Show.
He should have made a better song.
We just wanted to tell everybody that, like, it's really been painful, Corey said, as he started to cry in the video, which now, by the way, is missing. It's been taken down. You can't find it. We're really freaked out over this, and it's really not fair. I don't understand. It's not, like, PC to say somebody is fat, or somebody is white, or somebody is black, or somebody is yellow or green, or if they have a short leg, or if they're missing a finger.
What?
We can't talk about these things. But it's okay to bash Corey Feldman and the Angels?
Yes, because you were terrible.
See?
It's okay.
It doesn't matter whether we're a celebrity or not. We deserve love, and we deserve, like, normal life. It's not okay. It is not acceptable to shame us. The response is bullying.
That's real talk right there, man.
Listen, this isn't bullying. If you're going out on television and you're performing, no one's saying you can't be an artist. If this is your art and you believe in it, go and do it. But people have a right to not like it. Just because we don't like you or don't like what you do, it doesn't mean it's bullying. No one pulled pages from your diary and posted them. No one went into your home and recorded you surreptitiously and then put you on the internet. You chose to perform. This isn't Danny Mathers who took a picture of some nude woman in a locker room without her knowing it,
right,
and then put her up on the internet. This is a guy he's been in a professional entertainer since he was a kid.
In quotes.
You know, you're putting yourself out there. That's what you do. That's your job. You got to take the lumps. Just because we don't like it doesn't mean it's bullying if we say what you did on today's show was crap.
You see how white people do?
Right. And to cry and say, oh, you're bullying me and we deserve love and we deserve love. Sure, everybody deserves love. And it's not fair if someone doesn't like what you do, but you have to earn it, you know?
Don't be bad.
I'm sure maybe there's some people who did like what he did.
No, yeah. Please.
I think his mangel, Anne.
Yeah. Courtney
really,
Anne.
She really thought that it was great and was very confused by it.
Courtney Ann.
I was confused by it, but I didn't think it was great.
One of Corey's angels.
His mangel.
She does consider herself his mangel.
Come on, that's great.
That really is pretty good.
You know, it's those people auditioning on American Idol.
Yeah.
Where they say, you can't sing. And they start to bawl and cry. How dare you not think everything I do is great?
I don't need you. I'll make it on my own.
It's incomprehensible to me. Why is it bullying?
It's not. It's not bullying.
Can't we just remember him from Stand By Me? And the Goonies.
He won't let us.
Look, the kid.
Lost Boys.
He did good work as a kid. He did great work as a kid. Yeah. The Michael Jackson clothes he wears everywhere, and the lifestyle, and his delusion that he is something that he is not. Yes. Nobody's doing him a favor by buying into that and saying, "Oh, that was great. You're terrific. You're an amazing dancer, an amazing singer." Anyway, so that's the Corey Feldman story from Friday. It was fascinating and entertaining. We all had a good time. Why isn't my camera working? Oh, there we go. I think the thing's broken.
Is it?
I think. There we go.
Need a new camera.
Today's celebrity birthday is Daniel Panabaker, 29 years old today. Tonight's show host Jimmy Fallon is 42. And Adam West.
Yay!
TV's Batman, legendary actor, icon, man.
And a close personal friend of yours.
He is a good buddy of mine. Speaking of which, Stanley's Kamikaze is coming up at the end of October. And we're going to be doing a panel about the new animated Batman movie that's coming out, starring Adam West and Burt Ward and Julie Newmar. Lee Merriweather will be there, and I will be hosting. And I believe Kevin Smith's going to come along. He's going to host with me.
Fantastic.
So we're going to have a good time.
This is Adam West. Get a life, Ralph.
How dare you? I love you so much. Why are you bullying me? You have to love me.
This is Adam West. You know, even I am getting tired of your talking about me.
I am bullying me. Where's my mangel?
Hey, baby. Want to take a gander at some Adam West penis?
What?
Yes. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Matt Bellany from The Hollywood Reporter talks Emmys and Emmy parties. Andrew Siciliano next hour with the NFL Network talking about the weekend's football. And Eddie Braun is alive, our friend who jumped the Snake River on Friday afternoon, went up in a rocket and came down on the other side. He did that on purpose.
What's funny about that being is that we interviewed him on this show about that. And I had no idea it was Friday. no idea if he made it.
I'm not going to lie.
If he tried it, nothing. No idea.
What does a guy have to do to get some sort of commitment for you to pay attention?
Right.
Anyway, that's all coming up. First, though, this is me, Bean. I have been on vacation, and I am back on the show. And I have to tell you, it's very touching to hear from so many listeners while I'm on vacation begging me to not come back. I just want to say, I want to let you know that message has been received. There was an awful lot of, the show's so much better. Thank God you're not there. We don't have to listen to that.
But that didn't figure into your decision?
Well, I still came back anyway. But I was gone. And the reason I took this particular time off is because we've been talking about it a little bit on and off throughout the summers that I'm was moving and now have moved my family from Seattle, Washington, where I've lived for the last 17 plus years, to New Orleans, which is apparently in Louisiana, you guys.
Yeah.
So we drove out with our dogs, and it was door-to-door, house-to-house, 2,994 miles.
Now, you started talking about taking an RV, and then you changed your mind, and that was a bummer.
I did. I looked into the RV, and I ended up not being confident in my own abilities to manage that thing on a long, long drive.
Right, that's why we wanted you to take it.
In the wind. And I thought it would be slow. And that concerned me because you don't want to make a trip like that last any longer than it has to. It's a long time out on the road with dogs, you know?
Sure.
However, it might have been a good idea because, Kevin, you and I talked about this before I left. I rented a Ford Expedition, I want to say.
Yep.
Great car.
Yeah, agreed.
Not a paid advertisement. I'm telling you, one of the greatest cars I've ever driven in my life.
Wow.
And it may go faster than you intend it to go. And it's the kind of car that you're driving and you feel like you're going 70, and then you look down and you realize you're not.
Bean usually goes 25, too, so that must have been a shock.
I don't at all. I usually drive like a normal person, a little bit over the speed limit.
That's what I meant.
So I had an interesting conversation with a police officer.
Is that right?
In Utah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And I want to know from you guys. So the lights go on. He's, you know, he's behind me. And, of course, the first impulse, Kevin, you and I are the same on this, is can I run? Is there a way I can get away?
No.
Is there an upcoming exit? Is there some way I can lose this guy?
Come on.
But then you realize,
do I abandon the car and run into the woods?
Right. Do I just open the door and just roll out down the side of a highway and let the car careen?
The answer is yes.
So you realize, though, within about 100 feet, you know what? I'm probably not going to get away from this guy. I'm on a big open road in the middle of Utah, and this is all going through your mind. In an instant, you're thinking he's got a radio and he can get a helicopter up, and I'm probably going to get caught, so I might as well just pull over. So then you pull over, and then I tried to remember everything that we've tried to teach on this show with various guests over the years. Like, how do you handle that moment? He walks up.
We've done that segment maybe 20 times, and we can never remember what the answer is.
Well, in the moment, you're panicking.
Yeah.
So, you know, I did what I thought was supposed to be, and that's just hang a $100 bill out the window as he approaches the car.
Can I see your ID? Yes, it's right here on this $100 bill.
I do look just like Ben Franklin. So he says to me, he says, do you know why I pulled you over? Now, what's the answer? What am I supposed to say?
The answer is no.
Not sure.
No. Yes, the answer is no, because if you admit to speeding even 1 mile per hour, that's it. They just write you a ticket. So you don't know why they pulled
you over. Right? And he could be like, nope, left blinker, but thanks. You were speeding as well.
Okay. So I said, I really don't. I'm so sorry, officer. I really don't.
I hit that drifter 20 miles back.
Was it the hobo?
See?
The man I killed.
I'm glad I didn't say that. So he says, well, you're speeding. Do you have any – now, he says, do you have any idea how fast you're going? Now, the heat lamp is on because he's firing these questions at me, and I don't know the answer to that.
So you say no.
So he said, do you have any idea how fast you're going? And I said, well, I was going around 80. The speed limit is 80, by the way, in much of this country. Did you know that?
No, yeah. I didn't. I thought it was 75.
80 in much of this country. So I said –
I would have said, I assume I was doing the speed limit.
Mm-hmm.
I said I was going about 80.
Okay.
And he said, well, you were going 96.
Oh.
By the way, if the speed limit's 80 and you're in the middle of nowhere and going 96, that's ridiculous. That's all good.
Well, I mean, you know, Montana has no speed limit, and that's why, is because there's hundreds of miles between towns, and they feel like there's no reason to slow you down. I will be honest that I was not intentionally going 96. I wasn't my plan to go 96. That just got away from me because, again, in my car, in my regular car that I drive, if I'm going 96, I'm really, really feeling it.
Car's shaking. Everything's falling off.
In this Ford Expedition, though, again, not a paid plug. I'm just saying this is what happened. To me, it felt like I was going 75 miles an hour, and I was going 96. So he gave me a ticket, and which I deserved, and I've already paid it online. It was $123.60, in case you're wondering. So that was the thing that happened. All right, so real quick, because I know we're almost out of time already here. The other thing was, when I left, I told you guys that I had shipped my car to New Orleans. I was going to rent a car to drive out with my dogs, and I was going to ship my car to New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. And you remember, thought that you shipped your car to New Orleans.
And remember that I was telling you that it seemed shaky. This guy...
Yeah, you met a carny in a parking lot.
Yeah, exactly. He called me and he said, can you be in Tacoma in an hour? It was that kind of a thing. So I took the car down there, and it struck me as weird, like, after the fact that there was no paperwork, and I just felt like... You hand a guy your car, maybe there ought to be some sort of record of it. There should be some sort of a contract or something like that. He's like, no, I'm going to New Orleans, sure. You had to think about it.
Wow.
So I've been really, really wondering what happened to my car. I get a call from the guy, and I think I'm in Wyoming at this point. I'm making the trip, and I'm in Wyoming. So I'm still a few days from New Orleans. And he calls me, and he says, hey, I'm here already. I'm in New Orleans. And I said, that's fantastic. I said, do you have a lot? Is there a place that you drop off my car and I can come and, you know, a guy looks after it and I can check it out? And he's like, no, we don't have anything like that here. So I'm just going to leave it in
leave
the parking
it.
Lot somewhere.
Yes.
Oh.
And I said, you're going to what? He's like, no, it'll be fine. I'll find a safe place. I'll leave your car in a parking lot somewhere. And I don't know what to do at this point. There's not much I can do. I'm in Wyoming. So he calls back an hour later and says, all right, I left it in the parking lot of a Home Depot, and I put the key in the tailpipe.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Which to me sounds like you might as well put a big neon sign on the top of the car that says, steal me. It's the Home Depot. It's about a mile and a half from my house.
Did you get the key out with your penis?
It's adjacent to the Superdome. Okay, and I think you know the neighborhoods around stadiums are always the best neighborhoods. That's the one thing we've learned about living
beautiful.
In America.
Very beautiful.
So he leaves my car in a Home Depot parking lot with the key in the tailpipe. And I call the Home Depot and I say, my car is in the parking lot. Please don't tow it. I'll be there in a couple of days. And the guy on the other end of the phone says, dude, I wouldn't leave my car in this parking lot. I work here. I wouldn't leave my car in this parking lot. This is a pretty dodgy neighborhood. And I said, I know, but I didn't have any say over it. That's where the guy left the car. So the entire rest of the time while I'm driving through, you know, 6 days in 11 states to get to New Orleans, I'm convinced that by the time I finally get here, I show up at that parking lot, and there's no way my car is still going to be there.
At the very least, or all the wheels are missing or something.
Or something. Because I'm just thinking, this Home Depot, it's not a 24-hour Home Depot. At some point, all the other cars are gone, right?
Sure.
And then your car is the only car that's left out there, just essentially just abandoned. I mean, it's begging somebody to come by and take it. Well, for all the talk we've heard about the crime rate in New Orleans, and it is significant, my car was still there, ladies and gentlemen. My car was still there.
I mean, and great. That's great.
And I was able to fish out the key from the tailpipe, not a euphemism, and I was able to drive it home, and mission accomplished, all successful.
Wow.
So how about that? So this carny, who essentially I was convinced had stolen my car, actually did everything he said he was going to do. He drove it here, and he left it in place, and it turned out to work out for me.
How about that?
So A-OK.
All right, A-OK.
Last night was the night for TV fans. The 68th annual Primetime Emmy Awards were on from the Microsoft Theater in downtown L.A. In the audience, Matt Bellany was there, executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter, and he is now here on K-Rock. Hey, Matt, welcome back, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. Sorry if my voice is a little hoarse. I was talking a lot last night, very late.
I'm sure you were. Is this the third year in a row, I want to say, we've had you in studio post-Emmy?
Something like that. I think I've come in for the Globes a couple times, maybe the Oscars.
I'm just stunned. When I saw you were tweeting at midnight plus your time, I thought, oh, this is going to hurt in the morning. He's going to wonder why he agreed to do this.
Yeah, there were a couple of questions. And that was before the late night Jimmy Kimmel secret after party that I managed to get into.
Ooh. Tell us about that. What goes on at a Hollywood secret after party?
It wasn't that secret. There were hundreds of people there. But Kimmel throws a great party. There was amazing food. He had little booths from all the restaurants around L.A. that he loves and, you know, booze everywhere, live band, like celebrities. Matt Damon didn't get there till like 1 a.m. It was nice.
Tell me your opinion on this. I've gone to a lot of Grammy after parties, Emmys, Academy Awards. Most of those parties are a lot of hype, and they're really not that much fun. And everybody pretty much is just looking around the room to see who the most famous person is.
I would agree with that.
Okay.
I think that it depends. Like, there are certain parties, especially for the Emmys, where you can distinguish yourself with, like, great food or, like, booze everywhere or, like, actual celebrities, you know, hanging out, and you can, you know, kind of look around and see, like, real, you know, actual famous people. And the HBO party for the Emmys is kind of like that, but this part, the party that Kimmel threw was even better just because it filtered out a lot of the people that are like me kind of looking around, and it was actually people hanging out talking to each other.
How did you get through the filter?
I don't know. I had a friend. Exactly. That's a good question.
So, Matt, how did the Emmys – we enjoyed the broadcast very much, except for the usual complaints that I and many viewers have, which is too many categories you don't care about and too many people reading lists of names, and that just seems to be –
The Walking Dead.
And that's Kevin's beef. But that's going to be every award show is going to have both of those dings against it. But other than that, I thought it was a very entertaining show with lots of excitement and surprise and great speeches. And, of course, I thought Jimmy did a phenomenal job. So how did the whole thing play in the room?
I agree with you. I think the people there really liked it. Kimmel was funny and kind of edgy but didn't go over the line. And there were lots of legitimately great jokes. I mean, Jeb Bush showed up at
one
point.
That was funny at the intro.
That was funny.
Yeah, that was funny.
And unexpected. Completely unexpected.
Totally. And he had some great jokes. I thought the thing with the Stranger Things kids and the PB&Js was funny. And, you know, he had a lot of great one-liners. Seemed really comfortable. And, you know,
did you get a PB&J?
They passed it by me, and it just didn't look good. It looked like a PB&J that had been made 5 hours ago.
Hey, Jimmy's mom worked her fingers to the bone making those sandwiches for you.
You mean whatever catering company they hired to stand in for Jimmy's mom? No.
How dare you, sir?
Yeah. You really think she wrote, you know, 700 notes or whatever?
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Yeah. Kevin, find the Cosby.
I got it.
Clip. Let's play this for Matt. I want to get Matt's take since he was in the room. We know how it played on TV.
Ladies and gentlemen, four-time Emmy Award winner, Dr. Bill Cosby.
He's not. Don't worry. He's not really here. I just wanted to see what you guys would do.
I love that so much.
I love the regal music in the background. Yep. Like he's going to come prancing out.
What was it like in the room? Was everybody just aghast that this might happen?
Yeah, I will say that is one of the few moments in the show where people were looking around like kind of quizzical, like what is going on? I mean, I think obviously...
That's what he meant.
The point of that joke is to get the reactions, and the reaction is the joke. But I think that of all the jokes, that one probably went over the least well in the room.
Oh, I loved it so much.
Yeah, on TV, I'm sure it was hilarious, yep. But everyone was just sort of like puzzled by the whole thing.
the reason it seemed like it didn't go over well, I assume, is because nobody's going to applaud or laugh at that.
Right. There was some meme going around of Tina Fey's face where she was just like kind of shocked and didn't really know how to react. But yeah,
I feel like that's him pushing everybody in the room right to the limit just to see what they would do. And I love that.
Totally. There were a lot of moments like that where he was kind of making fun of the crowd, which you have to do as an award show host. But that moment where he said, where he pointed out asked if anyone was gluten free.
Right.
And then they showed the celebrities, okay, these are the celebrities you hate.
There was somebody that was right in front of him that raised her hand. I can't remember who it was, but he doesn't believe in that.
It was Tracy Ellis Ross. Ross from Blackish is who it was, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he doesn't believe in that at all. The whole gluten thing, he just says it's not a thing.
Right.
But you know what? He's able, and I don't know if I'm just saying this because we're his friends and we know him, but he's able to mock people in the audience but not be mean about it.
Absolutely, and I think people appreciate that. You know, there's a line, if you go over it, and we've seen that in some, you know, award shows past where it kind of goes over the line to being uncomfortable, and I don't think it ever got there.
Right. Matt Bellany is in studio with us, executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter, by the way. You can go to THR.com for all of their coverage of the Emmys and photos and interviews and backstage and the whole deal. Matt, I saw the ratings are out. The ceremony was once again down a little bit by 2 or 3% or something from last year. And the problem seems to be Sunday night football is taking away a lot of the audience for the Emmys. And I know everything wants to be on Sunday night, but is it time to start thinking about moving it to a different night of the week?
Well, they try Monday. NBC, when you know, rotates among the four networks, the Emmys. And when NBC had it a couple years ago, they moved it to August because they didn't want it to compete with their own Sunday Night Football. And it flopped even worse. So I don't know that it's necessarily that. I mean, football is a huge draw. But putting that award show during the week would be even more of a disaster in downtown L.A. just because it's so crowded.
Here's my theory on the ratings. It doesn't get good ratings because it's not a good TV show. I mean, they try to make it TV friendly. They try to make you interested. But there's so many people that you don't know on shows you haven't heard of, listing people that you don't know. Part of it is not really TV friendly.
More so than ever, if you want to see who won, there's going to be a clip of it online. People are going to have those videos up within minutes. You don't need to watch the show.
Absolutely. And one of the other things is, you know, it used to be that there were only a limited number of networks, a limited number of shows, and you kind of knew, you know, back in the day when like Frasier or Seinfeld or whatever, those shows were winning, you know, everybody watched them or at least knew about them. Now you have shows like Orphan Black with Tatiana Maslany winning. I'm not convinced that people are watching that show still. I know, Kevin, you probably are.
I love it. And we've been saying she should be winning this Emmy for every year, and it was so exciting. I was clapping, and my wife said, "Why are you clapping?" I'm like, "I love that show so much, and she's so great. She finally got it."
But the ratings are very low.
I know.
Mr. Robot, the other show that the actor won. Great show, but the ratings
are low ratings.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so crazy.
The first award of the night actually went to Louis Anderson.
Oh, love Baskets so much. Baskets, and I think I'm the only one watching it.
You and five friends maybe are the only ones watching it.
I love it too. It's so good.
But I could just see America watching that show after that great Jimmy Kimmel opening and then seeing this show they've never heard of, Louis Anderson, who they're probably not familiar with even in the last 20 years, and being like, what? You know, and then tuning out.
Well, no, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, because if you look at the winners, there's a lot of, you know, there's Transparent and there's Baskets and there's, you know, Master of None, and there's a bunch of shows. You're absolutely right. It's not like back in the day where you'd heard of everything that was going to be up for it because there were only three channels.
We played pretty close attention to TV, and there were still shows that I had never heard of.
Right, and that's a huge problem because, you know, it's great for the TV watcher because you've got tons of choices and whatever you want to watch at any time is great, but not so great for an Emmy show because, you know, you've got, you know, a lot of people rubbing their heads just saying, what is this? Except for OJ. The OJ ratings
destroyed,
were great,
right? Yep.
And that just swept its categories. And that's a show that people actually watched and actually went into the culture. People were talking about. And that got a lot of awards.
And I was so happy, by the way, that the people who were terrible on that show, like David Schwimmer and John Travolta and Cuba Gooding Jr., even though they were nominated, I was so glad none of them won. And all the people who deserved to win, like Sterling K. Brown and Sarah Paulson, did win. That made me so happy.
Yeah, that was nice. I got those categories in my office pool because I was like, there's no way Schwimmer is getting this. Mm-hmm. No way.
Even Travolta, no way.
Yeah, I mean, they just, you know, they deserved it. You know, Sarah Paulson was amazing as Marcia Clark. It was funny. It was a little weird to see Marcia Clark and Sarah Paulson, like, getting so excited about this OJ show when, you know, the root of this is such, like, an awful, tragic story.
Yeah,
and they're, like,
yeah,
high-fiving each other, but...
But I thought, I totally agree with you. I mean, let's not forget that two people lost their lives that night, but Sarah Paulson did pay tribute to them from the stage, which I thought was very classy and very nice.
That's
for her
true.
To Jimmy remember
did,
that.
Jimmy, you know, did ask if Marcia Clark was rooting for OJ this time.
Marcia Clark actually has a pretty good sense of humor about it, considering the epic fail that she undertook.
Matt, one quick question before we take a break. Matt Bellany, executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter. How did it play in the room when Jimmy made mention of Johnny Cochran looking up at us right now?
Oh, that was amazing. Everyone loved it. That was one of his better one-liners.
I couldn't tell because I couldn't hear the audience laughter. They cut to a couple of people who looked. They cut to Travolta, who looked like he was a little angry.
He was not pleased.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't
see
that. Oh, that's funny.
But I thought that was hilarious.
Was he not pleased or was he just confused as to what was going on?
Yeah, his face hasn't moved for a while. So
it's a good point. I don't know.
It's hard to know.
Yeah, he doesn't have that great of an award show history with the Idina Menzel moment.
Sure.
That's true. Last, by the way, whoever gave the award to Tatiana Maslany had his or her own moment last night with butchering that name, too.
I
couldn't even figure out.
That was Kiefer Sutherland, right?
That's right.
Yeah, it was something bizarre. It was certainly not her name.
It was a mashup.
Here's what I like to say. If you're looking for a TV show, a great TV show, go back and catch up on Orphan Black. She was the winner in that. Go back and catch up on Mr. Robot, because that's
absolutely
fantastic as well.
All right, more with our guests. We'll talk Emmys right after this on camera. Don't just go on like we didn't just play Third Eye Blind.
Third Eye Blind, everybody.
Come on.
That happened.
No respect. Hey, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show here on a Monday morning. Our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network joins us next hour to talk the football. Right now we're talking the Emmys with our friend Matt Bellany, executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter. He was there last night in the room at the Microsoft Theater for the broadcast and also at the parties afterwards. Hey, next year, Matt, when we're having this conversation about the 69th Primetime Emmy Awards, is Atlanta going to be a show that will have been recognized, do you think?
I think there's a shot. I mean, the critics love it. I actually haven't watched very, very much of it yet, but I think so. I mean, there's a lot of interesting shows coming out this fall that I think could get some Emmy attention next year. That show on FX. There's the Better Things comedy, which is
love.
Like the female Louie.
Yeah,
that's right.
I watched all of the screeners they sent, and I actually emailed the guy back. I'm like, can I get more?
Yeah.
It's concerning, but I think FX had some of the best shows on TV right now, with Baskets, with Atlanta, with Better Things. They're killing it.
Yeah. And then I think The Night Of, that HBO thing from the summer,
don't get me started.
That will probably be in the Emmy conversation next year.
Not the finale.
They're going to have a special category for Best Performance by Feet.
Yes. Oh, so much scratch.
Best TV show for every episode but the last is what they give to them. All right. Let's talk about a couple of winners last night that we haven't mentioned. We hit a few of them. How do you feel about Game of Thrones? Was it a surprise to you to see it win the Emmy for Best Drama Series? A lot of competition in that category.
Not a surprise. It's the biggest show on TV. You know, I am not a Game of Thrones fan. I my take on it. I tried it. I really tried, and it just the Dungeons and Dragons thing doesn't do it for me. But everybody loves it, and it's certainly the most expensive, most ambitious show. So it doesn't surprise me they won in series and directing and writing. I was a little surprised in writing. Because I thought some of the other, you know, the Mr. Robot pilot and maybe the Americans might take that. But not a big surprise. Same with comedy. Veep is just on another level.
It is.
On
by
another
itself,
level, right?
I mean, Julia Louis-Dreyfus is my favorite person on TV. That is my favorite show on TV. It's just, it's amazing. It's so funny.
And there were a lot of people probably who were aware of the behind-the-scenes turmoil on that show, losing their showrunner, and I think it even got extra cred for even possibly getting better with that change of leadership at the top, right?
Yeah. I mean, Armando Iannucci, who created the show, he's a very well-known guy in British comedy, and it had a very particular voice to it. And he left after four seasons, went back to England, and they brought in this guy David Mandel from Seinfeld, who Julie Louis-Dreyfus knew and, you know, and had worked with Larry David and a bunch of great people, but people didn't know what the show would be, if it would still be able to have that voice and be funny. I actually think it got better this season.
Yeah. Last season was my favorite season.
Incredible.
Yeah, it was so amazing.
All right, Jeffrey Tambor wins again for Best Actor in a Comedy Series. I know that the media and the critics love Transparent. You hear a lot about it in Hollywood. What are the numbers like for Amazon? Are they like Netflix and they don't tell you how many people are actually watching?
It's the great mystery. Nobody knows. I mean, you can get a sense. I mean, there are companies out there that claim to, you know, they can give you a sample size based on, you know, audio of what audio is coming out of your TV and it's caught by your phone, but they're all unreliable and people don't know who's watching these shows.
That scares me.
Yeah, no, trust me, it's very scary. But you know, Transparent, I think, is one of those shows that it does have an audience. Like, there are a lot of shows on Amazon and Netflix that I honestly wonder who in the world is watching these shows.
Me.
You probably are.
Allie doesn't miss anything, just so you know.
I know.
But Transparent is one of those, like, media darling shows. It gets written about a lot. And, you know, you talk to people, especially in the TV Academy, they do watch it.
Jimmy was very funny last night calling out Mark Burnett for being responsible for Donald Trump, because Mark Burnett was the guy behind the Celebrity
Apprentice. It's true.
It is true. He definitely brought him to mainstream America, right, as a personality and television.
Absolutely. He's the guy. He and Jeff Zucker, who used to run NBC, they are the guys that looked at Donald Trump and said, this guy is a TV star.
He's a star.
And he was.
Absolutely.
I'm not positive they're responsible for him running for president, but
those first few seasons of The Apprentice were great.
And
he was amazing.
Yeah. And I bring that up to say, how about Mark Burnett, who continues to make amazing, successful television, winning another Emmy last night for being one of the producers of The Voice?
Yeah, and you know, he beat himself on Amazing Race. It's kind of nuts. I mean, he's had a lot of success. The Voice is a good show. I mean, I don't particularly love it, but it's really popular. That category tends to reward you know, the same shows over and over again. The Amazing Race and The Voice have won, I think it's something like, you know, the past 13, 14 years. So
they're both great, though, as well.
They are. But my theory on that is, I don't believe that many people in the TV Academy actually watch that much reality TV. So they're just voting for what's popular or what they've heard is ambitious.
Makes sense. Miley Cyrus is the next Supreme Court justice, I heard from the Emmys last night. All right, one final question for you, Matt, and that is, how unusual is it to have an actress or actor, for that matter, from Saturday Night Live to win an Emmy? I don't feel like I see that all the time.
Our stats show that was the first time that it's ever happened.
Wow.
Tons of nominations.
There were a lot of nominations.
And wins in the writing category and in the you know, the variety show category. But our stats, and this could be wrong, I haven't triple-checked it, but that Kate McKinnon is the first performer to win an Emmy in that category.
That is unbelievable. Wow. When you think about everybody from Eddie Murphy to Will Ferrell, how could somebody have not won an Emmy before?
It's very surprising. Maybe they didn't enter in those categories back in the day. I don't know. And certainly the guest actor category has one for the hosts.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But Kate McKinnon is great on that show. She's really fun.
Hilda
she's
Radner an all-star. Did win Outstanding Continuing or Single Performance by a Supporting Actress in Variety or Music.
See, that's
okay.
Not a category. That should not be
that?
A category.
That, you know what? That might be the
words.
That might be the equivalent of that of this category today. So that may be one in the past.
But still, you're going back a few decades.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's insane.
All right. Tell us about your Hollywood Reporter coverage for folks who want to follow up on this conversation, read more about the Emmys last night.
We are going nuts on THR.com today with the Emmys. Everything from, you know, the pictures, backstage, parties, all the winners, analysis. So THR.com all day today.
Well, you're always very generous with your time, especially coming in after a late night like last night. Thank you so much for stopping by, Matt Bellamy.
No problem.
106.7 KROQ is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 8.
Arr! Arr, matey.
Oh.
Arr.
Is it that time of year already, Ralph?
Of course it is. You guys have forgotten?
I hope.
Talk like a pirate day.
No,
come on,
not.
Everybody.
That's not still a thing.
Come on, let's all talk like a pirate, shall we?
Arr, matey. Shiver me timbers. Oh, strike me mizzen mast. Arr.
What?
I don't know.
Strike the mizzenmast?
Mizzenmast. That's a thing. Mizzenmast.
It wasn't a thing when we celebrated it, I don't think, and it's still not a thing.
Yeah.
Well, I would beg to differ, and okay. So would Krispy Kreme, by the way.
Okay.
We're giving out...
I've never been in an argument with Krispy Kreme before, but okay.
We're giving out the free donuts. If you dress up like a pirate, you get free donuts at Krispy Kreme.
Yummy.
Right? Exactly. If you just talk like a pirate when you come in, they'll give you a free donut. If you dress up like a pirate and wear three of a list of pirate items, they'll give you a dozen donuts. So tell me that's not a real thing, suckers.
I mean, I guess it's a real thing.
Aha!
Okay.
You want the list? You want what you have to wear?
Kind
of. Three out of the final.
Okay.
Of this list. Three. Just pick three.
Okay.
And you get yourself a dozen donuts at Krispy Kreme, okay? Eye patch.
Okay.
Parrot on your shoulder.
Sure.
That's got to be a guest health hazard, though.
Yeah, I would think so, yeah. You can't bring a bird into a restaurant.
You get a bee at the Krispy Kreme if you bring a parrot in on your shoulder. Bandana. Mm-hmm. Hook hand. Leather belt. That's easy. Pirate shirt. I don't want to wear the pirate shirt.
Good reference.
Thank you. Pirate hat. Silver and gold necklaces and earrings. If you're a lady, this is pretty easy. Black Johnny pointy Depp. Boots. Ragged brown sandals. A pair of knickers. What? Or if you have a peg leg.
Come on. It doesn't say
it's
that.
On the list.
Nope.
Peg leg is on the
People
list.
People with peg legs deserve a dozen free
That's
donuts.
That's what I'm saying.
Ralph, do you still have your outfit from La Valantula?
I don't
You'd
believe.
Be perfect.
I believe that was a rental. No, that was not bad. A keeper. But this is a participating U.S. and Canadian locations. Excludes Puerto Rico and Connecticut.
Oh, Connecticut once again, man.
Oh, no.
They will not
Don't
play
make
along.
Us call.
Do
they? Don't make us call.
They will not play along in Connecticut.
They always fight that, huh?
They do.
I think Krispy Kreme Guam also is not participating this year. But there you go. So there you go. Krispy Kreme donuts. If you talk like a pirate or you dress up like a pirate, you can get a dozen.
What Yummy. More do
you need? What more do you need?
Ahoy! Ahoy!
We were all in on Talk Like a Pirate Day for a number of years.
I never
years,
was, really. Nope.
We talked about it a lot.
Yeah, it was we did. Fun, Kevin. It was yeah. fun.
Nope. No,
Come
sir.
On, Kevin. Arr,
nope.
It was fun.
Kevin, it'd be fun. It'd be fun to talk like this, Kevin.
All right, it'd be fun.
It'd be fun.
It's Monday. We take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Sully, in its second week, kicked some ass again with $22 million. Blair Witch debuted to $9.7 million. Bridget Jones's Baby debuted with $8.2 million. Did you see that, Allie? I know you were very excited to see Bridget Jones's Baby.
I will see it.
Okay. Snowden was fourth, $8 million.
I saw Snowden.
What happened?
I saw Snowden.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you wander into the wrong theater?
What a surprise. Oliver Stone.
Did you lose your wallet in that theater and you're watching another film and then you had to go back in while they were playing Snowden to recover your wallet?
It has no louds in it at all.
Why would you, of all people,
because it's
go
a fascinating
to
story. It's a fascinating story.
But
not to you.
It's well above your pay grade, though, in terms of like comprehension and what's going on. It's a lot of politics and
I'm well read.
Documents and things and news. It's everything you hate in one film.
Good movie.
Back All you. Things you disdain in one film. Why would you go there?
You guys yell at me when I don't see a movie like that, and then you yell
you're
at me
right.
when I do see a
you're
movie
right,
like
Kevin.
That. How do I win?
Well, you're supposed to go after we tell you you would like it and go, but you don't just go on your own. You just wander into Snowden all willy-nilly.
Sorry, my bad.
Throwing everything off.
Watch the news because I'm a kid.
Was it Backward Weekend? Was it one of your famous Backward Weekends? Was it that?
It was not, no.
Oh.
No. Opposite it's, Weekends.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, opposite yeah. Weekend.
It's a very newsy
Every
movie.
A Backward Weekend.
Very newsy movie for Kevin to see.
Very newsy.
How dare you.
And it's got depth and things.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Which I appreciated.
Did
and
you?
Understood.
Did you?
Sure.
Okay. Don't Breathe was fifth. When the Bow Breaks was six, Suicide Squad, The Wildlife, Kubo and the Two Strings, and Pete's Dragon rounding out your top 10. Look at that. We're already out of time. How time flies when you're having fun, right?
Arr. Oh, you sure be right there. Mitchie. Oh, eat some oranges to ward off scurvy.
That was tough.
That's what they had to do back then, yeah. You know. Lack of vitamin C causes scurvy. Today's celebrity birthday.
A lot of pirate information.
Danielle Panabaker is 29 years old today. Love her on The Flash.
Yep. She's great.
It's fast, that Flash.
I remember her back in the day as James Woods' daughter on Shark. You remember the show on CBS Shark?
I don't.
She was great on that show. Talented lady. She was also one of the traveling pant ladies, wasn't she?
Oh, was she?
Wasn't she a
the sisterhood of the traveling pants? I didn't know that.
Maybe
she
was
a traveling pant lady.
Maybe she wasn't. Maybe she just sold pants door to door. Maybe I'm getting confused. Eva Marie, the wrestler, is 32 years old today. Jimmy Fallon is 42. And Adam West.
Yay!
TV's Batman celebrates his 88th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman to walk the showbiz beat.
The Red Hot Chili Peppers, you guys, get on this, are playing Staples Center right around the corner on March 7th. I mean, you got to get those tickets. March 7th will be here before you know it.
Yeah.
March 7th.
We hear you.
It's mid-September now.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So there's October, November, December, January, February, then March.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But we're giving away those tickets every hour from 9 till 4 today here on K-Rock. Every time you win, you also qualify for a trip to see them in New Orleans, which is in Louisiana, believe it or not. And that will be given away at 5 o'clock today. So if you're a Chili Peppers fan, you want to be keeping it here on K-Rock all day long.
And we've got a different trip each day this week.
Yeah, I heard we're picking cities all over North America. That's an awesome deal. All right, last night were the Emmys. We've been talking about them all day. I mean, the big winners, Game of Thrones for drama, Veep for comedy, and the limited series, which is miniseries, was The People vs. O.J. Simpson. They won a ton of awards. In fact, Jimmy Kimmel, the host of the show last night, even made a reference from the stage how weird it would be for O.J. if he were watching the show to be seeing all this talk in 2016 about O.J. Simpson. So we thought, hey, we've got a good relationship with the Juice. Let's reach out and get him on the line from the Lovelock Correctional Institute in Nevada. Hey, O.J., welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hey, Kevin and Bean. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
From Lovelock.
Well, fine. We're good to talk to you again. Everybody's talking about O.J. Simpson again. You're hotter than you've been in 20 years.
I knew it would happen. I was waiting for my comeback. And now here it is. Don't call it a comeback.
No, don't call it that. Allie has a question for you to get us started, Juice.
Oh, great.
Hey, were you able to watch the Emmys last night?
You know what? I did watch the Emmys.
What? You saw the show.
I watched the Emmys last night.
I did not see that coming.
Well,
the
Warden you get ABC.
Was very, very kind, and he gave us a special dispensation and had everybody get together in one of the main dining halls, and they put up a television.
Wow.
And we all watched the Emmys.
Wow.
I tell you, and we dressed up. I took a Sharpie and drew a bow tie on my coveralls. And then people asked me, who you wearing? I said, Sharpie. And we walked down like a red carpet. We didn't have a red carpet. We just had a regular carpet, but we shivved a guy and we had him bleed out on it.
Oh, no.
Wow.
That's
a little red.
So that was
really
a red
dark.
Carpet.
So it was a red carpet.
It
okay.
was a red carpet, exactly. It was a little squishy,
right?
But it was red.
Yeah.
And then we all sat down and watched the Oscars or the Emmys, and I couldn't been more pleased to see all the people that I made so happy with my work.
I don't know. You made anybody happy, but what was
yeah,
it like?
All the people they won the Emmys. All those people won Emmys.
Yeah, that's
and also
true.
Those people who watched that show enjoyed themselves. So
well,
I brought a lot of joy to a lot of people.
Yeah, not so much
that's
joy
one way
to certain people.
To
right.
Look at
all right, two people I made sad.
Well,
everybody else I made happy.
You mean all their families and stuff?
Okay, a dozen people maybe. But compare that to the hundreds of thousands of people I made happy with The People versus O.J. Simpson, you're welcome.
Now, were you excited when it won Outstanding Limited Series?
I was. I was very excited.
Uh-huh.
How could I not be? This is my work that's being dramatized that is the best. And I wish I just could have given a speech, that's all.
What would you have said?
I would have said, I'd like to thank the Academy for all the people who voted for The People versus O.J. Simpson. I'd like to thank John Travolta's hairpiece.
Okay, somebody should have called it out, I agree.
For always showing up every day for work and never complaining. I'd like to thank Cuba Gooding Jr. for not winning last night.
Yeah, he did not win.
He did not win because he's too damn small to play me.
Yeah,
and
he
I'd
was.
Like
he was
to thank
poorly cast.
Courtney B. Vance and
he did
Sterling
win.
K. Brown.
Did win.
He also won, yeah.
John F. Kennedy and all people with middle initials. I'd like to wish them all a happy new year.
That's okay.
Well, it's a very confusing speech if you had given it last night, Juice.
Maybe it's better I didn't give a speech.
Maybe so. Where's the Emmy for Andrew Siciliano hosting the Red Zone on DirecTV, by the way?
I don't think they have a Red Zone Emmy.
Well, I think they should. Look, no one on that stage last night could do what the Sis does every Sunday on DirecTV. Am I right?
You are correct, sir.
All right. Andrew, welcome back to the Kevin Beach Show, my friend. How are you?
You are way too kind. Good morning. Happy football morning to all of you.
All right. Well, listen, we got to start with the top story because Ali is hyperventilating. What are you hearing about Jimmy G? What's going on with our Patriots quarterback?
You know, the Rams won too, Ali.
Whatever.
Wouldn't that be the top story?
Yeah, I would think it would be Rams beat the Seahawks 9-3.
I think it's 4.5 miles from your studio.
I think maybe Bean's avoiding that.
I wasn't aware that game happened. Are you sure that was yesterday?
I feel like we can start with it. Let's start with the Rams.
Let's start with the Seahawks scoring 3 points. Let's talk about that.
How about the fact that the Rams own the Seahawks? They've beaten them 3 in a row, and I believe 4 out of 5, and every time they face Russell Wilson, I think they've sacked him at least 2 times. And the Seahawks offense has 15 points, I believe, in 2 weeks. And
yes, all of this is true.
You want a good stat? Here's your good stat. And by the way, I was not there, as you said. I was in an air-conditioned studio in the marina, but it was hot as you-know-what, and there were 91,000 people there. And I've been told by a Rams official that they had 52, 53, something like that, in the gate by like 12:20 to see the Chili Peppers, which is awesome.
Wow.
And hundreds of people traded for heat exhaustion at the game yesterday, too. Literally.
It was hot. I did not realize that.
Are the Rams going to score a touchdown at some point this season?
Get this, Kev. They are. This was their first win with fewer than 10 points and no touchdowns scored since they beat the Bears in 1969 at Wrigley Field.
Wow.
Wow.
So thank God Seattle sucks then, huh?
Here's a stat on the other side of the ball. This is the first Seahawks game without a touchdown in 4 years next month.
Wow.
Next
month.
See,
there you go. You're
4 years.
You're blinding me with stats. Yeah. Now, do you want to talk about the dreamy Jimmy Garoppolo?
It was a painful loss for Seattle, but you know what? Russell is hurt. He definitely did not have the mobility that we expect from him. And the Rams played very, very well. They deserved to win that game. Look, you don't score a touchdown, you don't deserve to win. So I hope
their defense has owned the Seattle offensive line the last 3 years. That's the story of that game.
All right. Patriots. Now let's talk New England. Who is going to be quarterbacking this weekend?
I don't think it's Jimmy Garoppolo, but the Patriots have not ruled him out. Granted, they could have severed his leg at the hip yesterday, and Bill Belichick, knowing his injury, how much he despises giving injury information, would have still not ruled him out. The fact that they're on a short week makes it difficult. You would have to expect Jacoby Brissett to start the game. I think the bigger question is, who is the backup? And currently, they do not have another quarterback on the roster. However, Danny Amendola, Julian Edelman, and wide receiver Chris Hogan have all thrown NFL passes.
I would love to see Edelman play quarterback.
He was a quarterback at Kent State.
Yep.
He came into this league as a quarterback.
Interesting.
I would highly doubt, however, that they would put him
out there
as the number two. So they would have to sign someone that at this point, the people on the street, many of them actually do live on the street.
Somebody who's bagging groceries out of Vons is going to be playing quarterback.
Why is nobody talking about Tim Tebow? That's the thing that's shocking to me.
Because Tim Tebow reported to Mets camp today.
He
doesn't want to play what's basically the equivalent of minor league football in Canada, but he will play minor league baseball in Arizona.
How about that? Yeah. Look, he wouldn't be playing baseball at all if somebody would have given him an NFL job. But he can't play in the NFL.
Proving he's not good at NFL throwing. Yeah.
I want to talk about the Factory of Sadness for a minute because are there stats on a game where you're up 20-2 and then lose? How often does that happen, Andrew?
Or 20-0 and lose. They were kicking the extra point to go up 21-0. And the Ravens, we're talking about the Browns and the Ravens here, and the Ravens blocked the extra point and ran it back. And when you block the extra point or run it back, that's 2 points, not 1 point. Little known rule.
I didn't know that.
That's how they got the 2 points. And then the Browns collapsed. Now, for those who do not know, I was raised a Cleveland Browns fan. You
yeah.
guys make that clear every week for those
sure.
who don't know. And this may sound like sour grapes, and I'm saying this as an employee of the National Football League, but the Browns did get the short end of a very questionable call late in that game. The league wants to clean up taunting, and we've seen that, right? You get 15 yards for taunting, and if you get two of those penalties, you may be ejected this
right.
year. Terrell Pryor, late in the game, as the Browns are driving down five, under a minute to go, under like 30 seconds to go, catches a ball at the 10-yard line. Yay, first down, 10-yard line. He then flips the ball to the official. The ball glanced off a Ravens defensive back. The man had been checking him. And they called him for taunting as he was trying to give the ball back to the official.
But, Andrew,
hold on.
The Browns would have found they would have found another way to lose.
Yes, they may have.
Okay.
And they did on the next play when they threw an interception. However, that interception was from, like, the 25 as opposed to the 10. I'm just saying this because I probably will not have enough time to mention it today on Up to the Minute on 1 o'clock. On NFL Network, because there are bigger fish to fry. So I want it out there.
Oh, so you'll use our show for that, but your show, you're not going to put it out there.
Well, see, here I have more editorial control.
Gotcha. Yes. Andrew, who's the team that should be panicking right now? Is it the Saints? Who's out there right now who's in a spot that they really didn't expect to be and didn't want to be at after two games?
That's a great question. I don't think it's the Saints because I don't think anyone thought the Saints were any good. Mm-hmm. What I would say is the rest of the AFC East, the Patriots have found a way to go 2-0, and the rest of the division has blown its opportunity to do something with Tom Brady out. Now, maybe there's another window of opportunity with Jimmy Garoppolo out, but week 5 doesn't seem that far down the road. And the Patriots already have two wins in their pocket with Brady warming in the bullpen. So I would say that the rest of the AFC East, I would also say the Washington Redskins, who were 9-7 and a playoff team a year ago, but in those 9 wins, they didn't beat a single team with a winning record. They are now 0-2, and they look bad
at
0-2. And Kirk Cousins, I would say, on a personal note, turned down a lot of money last year, and he opted to go for the one-year franchise tender of like $19.8 million, which is good money, but he could have guaranteed at least double that if he had taken a long-term deal. I would say you want bad things in the Beltway that have nothing to do with the presidential election. The Redskins are one of them.
Yeah, people are not loving Kirk Cousins right now, that's for sure. All right, great stuff, great work yesterday as the host of DirecTV's Red Zone Channel. And as you mentioned, you're up to the minute on the NFL Network. We'll be this afternoon and every day this week at 1 p.m. Mr. Siciliano, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for your time, sir.
All right, guys. See you later.
Thank you. Bye now. All right, we're going to take your calls next. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. It's Kevin and Bean's What's Good? A TV show we're not watching or talking about, the Emmys. You have some thoughts on that, some highlights or some lowlights from that show, the Rams game, Red Hot Chili Peppers before the Rams game, whatever you have. 1-800-520-1067. You call now, and we will take your calls next. I'd like to include you on the show right now with your calls in any topic is fine at 1-800-520-1067. We like to call this one, What's Good?
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. On your mind, your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we could be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good? All right, let's get going with Pearl is a name you don't hear very often. You're right about that, Allie. It's been a long time since we talked about Pearl. She's in Oxnard. She's on line 2. She'll get us going on this edition of Kevin and Bean's What's Good. Hey, Pearl.
Hi.
What's good?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to say that I had an amazing time Thursday night, Prophets of Rage. They killed it. It was amazing. I just can't believe how awesome they were. I mean, Tom Morello, he's a guitar god.
His mom came out. His mom came out like she does. She's 92.
Oh, aww. My God.
And she comes out and says, now the best effing rock band in the world. And everybody just goes crazy. It's so great.
Yeah, she did. It was so awesome. And then Dave Grohl came out like toward the end of the show, and that was just like epic moment. He killed it. They rocked out together. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was great.
Did he do Kick Out the Jams like he did up in Toronto?
He did Come Like a Bomb.
Yes,
I can't remember.
Kick Out the Jams.
Kick Out the Jams, yeah. Okay. He said, I wasn't sure. He told me beforehand, he said, I wasn't even sure the words the last time, but I figure if I just scream, no one will know.
Yeah. Well, he seemed to know them pretty well.
Yeah, he did.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, look, Be Real is great. I love Chuck D. They've got so many great songs between all of the bands, you know, mashed into one. I mean, how could it not be a great night? So I'm glad you went, Pearl. I'm glad you had fun. And Kevin, sounds like you did, too.
I did. Yeah, it was great. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Let's try, let's go to Melanie. She's in L.A. We were talking about the Rams a minute ago. She's got a heads up on something. For line three, please.
Hey, Melanie.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi, what's good?
So there's an awesome event this Wednesday that the Rams players will be at. Middle linebacker Alec Ogletree is hosting an event for Make-A-Wish and granting wishes for kids here in L.A.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's going to be over at Hyde on Sunset, and just going to be a bunch of players, coaches. Rampage is going to be there, and they're going to help raise money to benefit Make-A-Wish for deserving kids right here in our city.
And where can people find more information on that?
More information at la.wish.org/ram.
That's a great tip. That's a lot of fun. As for Rams fans, want to meet a player. Thank you for the call on that. By the way, Ogletree is the guy who knocked the ball out of Kristen Michael of the Seahawks' hands with 45 seconds left as the Seahawks were heading down the field to try to win that game in the final minute.
So we love him.
So apparently he's very popular in L.A. today because he sealed that win. All right, let's try. Speaking of sports, let's go to Lancaster Line 5, please. Let's get Dean on the line. He wants to switch gears to baseball.
Hey, is this Dean Sheffrin?
No.
Okay, what's good?
You need to count your lucky stars that Mama Muggs doesn't say anything good about the Dodgers.
Why?
Because the last team she said something good about was the Giants. And before the All-Star break, the Giants had the best record in baseball.
Well,
and you talked
in the
National
League.
Mama Muggs. Right. You talked to Mama Muggs around the All-Star break.
Right.
She said, quote, "The Giants won't be losing anytime soon."
Yeah, wow. She did. She did say
wow.
She's the worst Dodger fan in the world.
Okay, but since then, the Giants have the worst record in baseball.
Okay.
How about that?
And they started out six games behind the Dodgers, or six games ahead of the Dodgers. Now they're four games behind the Dodgers.
Five games behind the Dodgers.
It's a curse. And
all
it's
right.
not just so that they've lost a lot of games. It's how they've lost.
That is a really good point. We should be really glad that Muggs' mom is the way Muggs' mom is, because she could kill the Dodgers by saying nice things about them.
Exactly. That's my point.
I like it. She's a good luck charm.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you for the call, Dean.
Appreciate that. Let's try, how about Clarence in Anaheim? He's on line one. See, now this is what What's Good was about. This is something that's under the radar. None of us have heard of it, but Clarence is going to guarantee we will love it if we give it a try. You're up, Clarence. What's up?
Yeah, you guys haven't been talking about Train to Busan.
Train to Busan?
Yeah, it's all over Facebook, bootleg, of course. But it's a great movie. It's the same hype as Old Boy. I'm sure you've watched Old Boy.
Oh, yes. Old Boy was great, yes.
Exactly. But this one is about, in the genre of Walking Dead, Fear of the Walking Dead. But these walkers, or these zombies, are like 10 seconds, you're a zombie. And they're runners. They're fast zombies.
They're not walking? This is a
now walking.
this is a Korean movie.
It's a Korean movie, and it's awesome. You should be watching it.
All right,
I know you guys are fans.
Take it easy. You told us about it 30 seconds ago.
Now you're mad we haven't already seen it.
I'm just excited. I just watched it last night, and I was like, you guys.
You were like, what?
This.
Could I hear again? What your reaction was?
I was watching it last night. I watched the whole movie, and you guys should be watching this.
They have already announced a sequel, by the way. They already confirmed a sequel because the first one is doing such blockbuster business in Korea and parts of Asia. And by the way, it stars the great Gong Yoo. I didn't know Gong Yoo was in it.
I don't know who that
is. I don't know who that is.
You saw the movie!
Thanks for the call, Clarence. What's good? Are we dancers? 106.7 K-Rock.
I'm Dancer!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:51.
We're going to talk to stuntman Eddie Braun again after the top of the hour. We had him in studio when he was preparing for this launch that happened this weekend, where he pretty much strapped himself into a rocket and took off from one side of the Snake River Canyon in Idaho to the other. And he did it, you guys. And he survived, and he's alive to tell us about it. Coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Ralph is here with the show. He's been on a Monday. Good morning, Ralph.
It is a Monday, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office each Monday. Sully, for the second week in a row, came in at number one with $22 million. Then Blair Witch debuted with $9.7 million. That was good enough to make it number two. Another debuting film, Bridget Jones's Baby, came in at three with $8.2 million. Then Snowden and Don't Breathe at number five. Kevin, did you go to Snowden because you thought it was a story about people who got snowed in like a blizzard? Like they couldn't get out because they were snowed in? And then you went there and you were surprised and dismayed that it was a lot of political conversation and things about documents and stuff?
Actually, it was Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I love him in pretty much everything.
I agree, but you thought there was a blizzard and he was stuck in an igloo, right? And he had to, like, blow up a Greenpeace tanker in order to get whale blubber to survive or something, right? That's what you thought it was.
That is not what I thought it was.
You thought it was snowed in, and then you ended up being snowed in, and you're like, this is a lot of facts and things about documents.
Well, there weren't a lot of facts because it was, you know, directed by Oliver Stone.
Oh, I see. Other than that, I come at the man now.
I'm just saying.
I see how you are.
Yeah.
When the Bow Breaks was sixth, Suicide Squad was seventh, The Wildlife, Kubo and the Two Strings, and Pete's Dragon running at your top 10 movies at the box office. Of course, the Emmys were held last night. Congratulations to all the winners, especially Tatiana Maslany, who won for her amazing work in Orphan Black for the first time, lead actress in a drama series. Rami Malek won for his work in Mr. Robot as lead actor in a drama series. Game of Thrones was the big winner for drama series. Veep won for best comedy series, as did Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who had the most touching speech of the evening as she thanked and thought of her father, who passed away on Friday. She buried her father on Friday, and she was at the Emmys on Sunday night. It's a remarkable show of emotional strength to be able to pull that off. The only person not happy with her speech? Can you imagine?
No.
Richard Dreyfuss.
Oh.
Actor Richard Dreyfuss, not happy with her speech. As he said via tweet, I am not Julia Louis-Dreyfus's father, but thank you for all the concerning emails and tweets. Apparently, a lot of people think Richard Dreyfuss is Julia Louis-Dreyfus's dad. Hmm. And when she mentioned in her speech that he had passed away, they all thought the star of Jaws and Mr. Holland's Opus had, in fact, died last week.
That's sort of weird.
And was going by the name William.
Well, I don't think a lot of people knew.
I think they just put Dreyfuss together with Dreyfuss.
Yeah, I think that was the connection we were making there. But, no, the star of Jaws and Close Encounters of the Third Kind is fine. He's all good. Boy, was Jimmy Kimmel great last night.
He sure was.
I thought so, too.
Maybe in no moment better than after the accepting speech of Jill Soloway, who won for Transparent as a director for that show. It also won, Jeffrey Tambor won for his work as a comedy lead actor in that series. When she said, topple the patriarchy.
Yeah, that was funny. She
and
said it twice.
Seconds later, Jimmy comes back and he said, I'm trying to figure out if topple the patriarchy is good for me or not. So I thought that's why you get Jimmy Kimmel on that show, because he's
agreed.
A guy who can come up with that standing on stage versus having writers backstage just pounding out his jokes for him. Also, I thought equally, just spot on, tone-wise, spot on, was the joke he said. A lot of people are wondering why Transparent is in the comedy category. It seems to be a pretty serious show.
Yep.
Well, the fact it was born a drama, but it identifies as a comedy. That was yep. One of the smartest jokes I've heard all year long, let alone on any award show. So congratulations to Jimmy. That was all well done. Good stuff, James. It's official. Lady Gaga will be the halftime entertainment for Super Bowl 51.
Boo.
Why boo?
You know why, Allie.
Freaking Weird Al feelings, for God's sakes.
Well, that's just crazy.
Right? Thank
Come
you.
On.
Yeah, it's crazy that they made a bad choice instead of a good choice. That's crazy.
Remember the good days when Bean was on vacation? Those were good times. Remember those? We had fun then. Remember then back when we had fun? Before the bad times?
But Lady Gaga, Bean, you've got to be happy about that. She's a showwoman of the highest regard.
Yeah, it's fine.
I was hoping for Corey Feldman for the halftime show at Super Bowl. That would have been awesome.
That would have been good.
He could have done that new song and done that bird dance thing that he does. That would be awesome.
She'll be fine.
She'd be more than fine. She's going to be awesome. She's a very talented woman.
Does she do fat to the tune of bad? It's a good example. And no, she doesn't.
Barely got that up, did you? Super Al fan.
Lady Gaga!
Right? That lady's very excited.
Very, very excited.
Familiar with Homer Murray? Homer Murray?
No.
A guy named Homer Murray?
I'm not.
Nice guy, restaurateur Homer Murray is. He also happens to be the son of an actor named Bill Murray.
Okay, all right.
So he opened up his own bar, 21 Greenpoint, in Brooklyn, New York, over the weekend. And as a crowd shuffled in to see what the new Brooklyn joint had to offer in terms of food and drinks, they were, needless to say, surprised by the bartender behind the bar. Bill Murray was there bartending for all the thirsty patrons at his son's new restaurant, 21 Greenpoint in Brooklyn, New York. As you can imagine, the people said he was hilarious, jovial, danced to the music while making cocktails, hammed it up for the crowd, and then gave a very sweet dedication and toast to his boy's new venture. So
he seems to be having the best time with his life anyone on the planet.
Nobody likes being themselves more than Bill Murray likes being
himself. I love that.
I do, too.
So I got that going for me, which is nice.
I did not know this, but Bill has 5 sons from the ages of 15 to 31. I didn't know he had that many kids.
Didn't either.
So, seems like a good dad. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Danielle Panabaker from The Flash, of course, 29 years old today. Wrestler Eva Marie is 32. Jimmy Fallon, Tonight Show host, turns 42. And actor Adam West, TV's Batman, soon to be seen once again as the Caped Crusader, a new animated film. He is 88 years old today.
That was
the pug.
That screams Batman.
The pug that barks, and it sounds, if you're not listening very carefully, it sounds like he's saying Batman.
It's pretty impressive.
Remember the good days?
Yep.
Yeah, this sure were
sure
fun.
Sure do.
Yep. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
About 6 weeks ago or so, on August 1st, we had a fascinating guest here on the studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. His name is Eddie Braun. He is a pro stuntman. He has done hundreds of credits in lots of movies and TV shows you'd see. In fact, as a matter of fact, Kevin, Eddie is in Sully.
Yeah.
He's one of the stuntmen for Sully, America's number one film right now. Anyway, Eddie was in to tell us that he was getting a plan together to jump over the Snake River Canyon in Idaho. His boyhood idol, Evel Knievel, had failed in his attempt to do that over 40 years ago, but Eddie was going to do it. And we tried real hard to talk him out of it, but he wouldn't budge, and he went ahead.
We told him, terrible idea. Why would you do this?
Don't even do it. Strap yourself into a rocket and shoot up across a canyon. What do you have to gain from that? Anyway, he didn't listen to us, and that's why he's better than we are, because he successfully completed it. He did it on Friday, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. He is alive, and he is well, and he is healthy, and hopefully happy. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Bean. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Eddie.
We're stunned to hear your voice again. Honestly, when you walked out of the studio, we said, he seems like such a nice guy. I feel so bad that it's the last time we'll ever see him alive.
I fooled you guys pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Hey, so, Eddie,
can you believe I actually survived?
No, I can't believe it. And I've watched this video over and over again, not only footage from the ground, but also the footage inside the cockpit. For people who maybe hadn't been paying attention, and that makes me sad that they didn't know this was happening. Explain just briefly, sir, what it was you were attempting to do this weekend.
Well, in a nutshell, I was just trying to fulfill the dream of my hero and set an example for my children. That, in a nutshell, that's it. That, I didn't care what anybody else thought. To me, I'd say this whole thing was a love letter through actions to my 4 children. Plain and simple. That's it.
So the possibility of death.
How are you going to word this?
Is a love letter to your 4 kids.
Well, it's a love letter through actions, right? Through actions. Anybody can say they're going to do stuff. A lot of people say they're going to do stuff. But it becomes a much harder animal when you do the stuff you say.
Right. And so but say things less, shoot lower. Well, you know what I'm saying?
Literally.
But why? But let's start out with this. I'm a professional stuntman.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. It's what I do for a living. I'm surrounded with professional stunt women, men and women. And this, if you take out the emotions and the hoopla, the whole thing, this basically was a very elaborate action sequence. Plain and simple.
Well, that's
true.
It was
a very elaborate action sequence. You know, we do it day in and day out, and we do it like a job. I'm just a technician, you know, the guy you never see. I had some great stunt coordinators, Gary Davis, Buddy Joe Hooker, and Conrad Palmisano. Nobody knew who those guys were in Idaho, but they were the top guys, and they made sure that I made it across. And it, you know, it's like I just went for a job. Now that I succeeded, then it's time, now the emotions set in and stuff. But, you know, when we go to work, we get beat up, we get hurt. Once in a while, we get injured. So it could happen at any time when we're doing this sort of thing.
All right, so Eddie, so this weekend is approaching. It's getting to be Wednesday, Thursday of last week, and obviously you're keeping an eye on the weather. What were the parameters that may have happened so that you weren't able to jump? You're worried about wind gusts, right?
Well, yes and no. You got to understand, this thing is like a bullet, okay? It's a ballistic trajectory. You can fire a gun in the rain. You can fire a gun in some winds. I guess wind was the biggest factor because sooner or later, if everything works right, a parachute is going to come out and you're going to kind of glide down to the ground. Well, not really glide. It was a crash, but it was a controlled crash to the ground. So wind was probably the bigger factor. So we weren't that concerned about it, though. The weather was perfect and, you know, we were ready to give it a shot and we did.
Okay, there was some speculation that you might pass out from the G-force of launching in this rocket. I mean, going from 0 to 400 miles an hour plus in a matter of seconds. What did it feel like for you in the capsule, Eddie?
First of all, it wasn't a capsule. I wish it was. It was an open cockpit, so I very much felt wind.
Man, this is bad decision after bad decision, dude.
Well, you know, I wouldn't say bad decision. You just got to make a choice.
All right.
And if you're going to risk big things, you know, big risk, big reward. You just got to go for it.
And the reason it wasn't a capsule is because you wanted to as closely as possible simulate what Evel Knievel had tried to jump in, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. Come on. Let's be honest here. Anybody, you know, you could climb into a capsule, carbon fiber, drone yourself and remote yourself control across. Anybody can do that nowadays. However, it becomes an entirely different animal if you try and go back to the 70s and use that exact same technology. So this rocket or SkyCycle was basically the same as Evel's back then. It's a steam power, just water, steam powered tin can at over 430 miles an hour across a really, really big canyon.
And how did that feel when you took off?
Well, I got to tell you, right now, I'm hurting like LeVar Burton. My hair is
But you don't have to take it from him.
Okay? So, I'm no macho guy. I'm hurting. I'm even trying to muster up going to get a massage or something. It hurts. What I thought when I hit the button was, oh, no, this might have been a really bad idea.
Okay.
There you go.
Finally, he realizes it. Do you have specific injuries or just everything hurts?
Okay. There's a difference between, you know, as stunt professionals, when we go to work, we get hurt, right? Now, listen to me carefully. We get hurt. We hope not and ought not to get injured. There's a big difference. A professional boxer or a professional football player, if he's successful, he gets hurt every weekend. So we get hurt. It hurts to fall. What we ought not to and pray not to do is become injured. So I have no injuries. But I'm hurting like LeVar Burton.
Gotcha.
Be honest.
Okay. You realized at some point you pulled the ripcord on your own parachute as soon as you realized visually that you were over the canyon. Is that how it worked? Is that how you knew when it was time to bail out?
Okay. If you watch you said you watched the interior.
I have. Yeah.
Stuff. Okay. If you watch it over and over again, watch my eyes because my eyes. I'm trying to focus very clearly on where my horizon is and what direction I'm going. So, you know, I kind of lived it through my head hundreds of times what I would do. And it wasn't one parachute. It was a series of chutes because at that speed, if I'd have pulled my main chute, it would have shredded and I would have came down fluttering, really hauling ass into a big puddle. So it was a series of things that I had to do. It wasn't until, and I tried to be unemotional about it. You know, I tried to be as professional as I could, but at the point I realized that I actually would live through it, I couldn't contain my emotions, and you see that I kind of give a little thumbs up.
Right.
And that was just kind of like, okay, I'm actually going to live through this.
You know, it's so interesting. This is the voice of Eddie Braun, pro stuntman on the Kevin and Bean Show. He successfully went over the Snake River Canyon in Idaho over the weekend. When I first brought you on, I mentioned that you were one of the stunt performers in the film Sully right now. And you and Captain Sullenberger have something in common, which is under the face of incredible pressure, you are able to stay calm and just do your job. And I think that's what's so astonishing about guys like you is the rest of us would just fall apart, I think, and just give up in a circumstance like that.
Well, you know, like I said, I'm just a professional stuntman like the rest of the guys. We do this day in and day out, and we hope and pray to do it successfully. And also, it's not just what we're doing. We hope to do it with some sort of integrity and pride. So, you know, for me personally, I had said it, if I get to the other side of the canyon in one piece, please, gentlemen, I don't want to see fist bumping and high fives and chest bumping. That's not what it's about. It's about just doing your job, thanking everybody around you, and just going off to the next shot.
Dude, buzzkill, for God's sakes. You just jumped a canyon on a freaking rocket.
It's okay to high five.
How about a fist bump?
Guys,
come on, man.
To me, there's no buzzkill. It's internal. It's not external. It's like, okay, I did it. Cool, let's move on.
All right, Eddie, will you go back to the movies and let them pay you to do controlled stunts and stop doing the crazy stuff now that you've accomplished this?
Well, I have to because I'm basically broke. I spent over $1.6 million of my own money. Some could call it foolish, but I did it in essence, a bottle rocket. I got to go out and get a job tomorrow, man. And that's great because I'm going to work with other professionals that do the same thing. And, you know, we may joke about it a little bit, but then it's off to where, you know, I'll be moving pads or, you know, whatever I got to do just to earn a living.
Well, you are one of the nicest guys we know that makes consistently terrible decisions, Eddie. But we're very, very happy for you. And we're very proud of you for making that jump, man.
Hey, thank you guys very much. And the statement I'd like to make is not what I did, but how I did it. That's equally and more important. And if I did it right, maybe that will outlive me. And if I did, then that's great, you know.
Amen. And if you want to see the video, we have tweeted it out from Kevin and Bean. It's also on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page if you want to watch Eddie Braun jump in the Snake River Canyon in Idaho. Thank you so much for your time today, Eddie. We really appreciate it.
Hey, guys, can I ask a quick little question? I'm just curious about something.
Sure.
Yeah, Bean, I heard this morning, you know, Jim Trenton, poor man, he's a buddy of mine, right? So he calls me, I call him, we have a guy. Is it true that poor man showed up at your house with like 300 guests and two birthday cakes?
Well, I don't know about the birthday cakes, but yeah, he did give out my address on the air and bring hundreds of listeners, and we ended up having to move because of that. It was not a happy chapter in my life, Eddie.
Oh, I'm sorry that it went bad like that.
But thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
That time Ralph Garman was on Charmed?
Sort of.
Played the guy introducing that bit.
It's a real pleasure for me to introduce, and a one-night-only benefit for the Animal Rights Fund, the Cranberries.
Woo! Yeah.
Nice. Well, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 24 minutes after 9 o'clock.
So, I was out last week, but apparently you're confused about something, Kevin.
Well, here's the
thing. And that's not like you to be confused.
Here's the thing.
Usually you have a very quick grasp of what's happening in front of you.
There is there's a commercial for a credit card. I think it's a Discover card.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet Ralph last week in a heated battle that... that it was the same person on each end because Discover says, this is their hashtag.
At Discover, we treat you like you'd treat you.
We treat you like you'd treat you. So then a guy calls and it's basically him on the other end.
Oh, I've seen a variation of this commercial where a woman calls in and it's her answering the phone, like her twin is answering
That's
the
what
phone.
I said and I lost $5 because it's not her twin, but it looks a lot like her.
It looks a lot like her.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And I thought, every time I see that, I think, if I'm having a problem with the Discover card and I'm calling somebody in customer service, I do not want me. I want somebody else who's better than me.
So this is like when you hear that anyone can grow up to be president of the United States, you say no, sir.
Right.
You don't want anyone to be able to grow up to be. You want people that are better than everybody else to grow up and be president of the United States.
If I'm calling customer service, I need help.
Right.
So I don't want to reach me. I want to reach somebody that is smarter and better and can fix things.
Then why did you do a Discover ad?
What are you talking about?
I've seen you in the Discover ad where you want to treat you like you treat you. It was you talking to you. Do you not remember this?
I don't. Do we have a clip of it?
I think we probably do.
Oh, American Express. No, Discovery Channel card.
Hey, I have a problem. I have lost my credit card.
Oh, I lose my credit cards all the time. I lose a lot of things.
Me too. I lose my key card, I lost my car once, and I lose my credit cards all the time. Can you give me a new credit card?
Oh, you should call the credit card company and get a new credit card.
That's a good idea. Do you know the card number?
Wait, I work for a credit card company. What are you calling about?
I lost my Discover card.
Oh, you should get a new one.
Right?
Right.
So can you get me a new card?
Yes. Just call right now and I'll get right back to you.
At Discover, we treat you like you treat you. Get the IT card at discover.com.
I'm saying I don't want that. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:35. Mario Aguirre, is that possibly correct? From Moreno Valley, just won tickets to go see the Red Hot Chili Peppers here from K-Rock. We got them for you all day long from 9 a.m. till 4 p.m. today. He'll be seeing the band at the Staples Center on March 7th. He's also qualified for a trip that we give away at 5 o'clock this afternoon to see the band in a city called New Orleans, Louisiana. A different city every day that you can win here on K-Rock. Get all the details at krock.com. Hey, Ralph Garman.
When I say master, you say minds. Master.
Minds.
Master.
Minds.
The worst.
I don't know what that is.
I was in.
They're all the worst.
Aww.
What was that from? Why are we doing that?
Because I'm excited about Masterminds, the new film with Zach Galifianakis. Have you seen the trailer?
I have not.
Yes.
Kristen Wiig.
Very funny.
Owen Wilson.
Very funny.
Jason Sudeikis.
Very yes. funny.
Funny people.
Sounds great. I don't think you get it, Kevin.
I haven't seen it yet. But they do not seem like criminal masterminds capable of pulling off the heist like they're trying to.
Thank you, Captain Literal.
I'm just saying.
So you're saying the title Masterminds might be ironic?
Yes.
Ah.
That's my hot take, yes.
You're a comic genius.
Thank you.
Looks very, very funny. Mastermindsmovie.com is where you can go to get more details. If you want to watch the trailer, you can go there. We're having a special K-Rock advanced screening of Masterminds on September 26th at the TCL Chinese Theater down there in Hollywood. If you'd like to attend and see this movie, give us a call now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through at that phone number will win a pair of tickets to the advance screening of Masterminds. Looks funny.
You had me at Zach Galifianakis.
Always funny. Kristen Wiig, very funny.
Her too.
Owen Wilson.
Him too.
Kate McKinnon.
Her too.
Jason Sudeikis.
Him too. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Sudeikis, yeah, looks funny. Plays a killer. Plays an assassin. Murderer. Hitman. A mechanic.
I'm in.
Owen Wilson. Funny.
How in do I have to be?
Doing this? What?
How in do I have to be?
All.
Okay, I'm all in.
All right. Speaking of movies, it's Monday morning, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Sully, in its second week, still number one, $22 million. Blair Witch debuted at number two with $9.5 million. Then Bridget Jones's Baby came in at three. Snowden was fourth. Don't Breathe was fifth. Then When the Bow Breaks, Suicide Squad, The Wildlife, Kubo and the Two Strings, and Pete's Dragon, rounding out your top 10 movies at the box office. Congratulations! Mel Gibson, at the age of 60, is going to be a new dad again.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, why would I kid you? I think it's a good idea for a 60-year-old man to have a baby. Of course, he won't be having the baby and probably won't be paying any attention to the baby, but he's fathering a baby.
I don't care.
His girlfriend, Rosalind Ross, is pregnant.
Who does she model for, Ralph? Does it say?
It does not say here, no. I don't know if she's a model or not, but she's 26, if that makes any difference, if that means anything.
Science should come up with a way to prevent that, so that you could actually have sex and not have a baby. That'd be pretty cool.
Congratulations to Kelsey Grammer, who at 61 is going to be a new dad.
What's happening?
He just announced that his wife, Katie, they're expecting their third bundle of joy. So
you see that? You see how white people do?
Right? Sad news. We lost Liesl. Liesl von Trapp.
Oh, Liesl.
Liesel.
Liesel.
Don't you dare.
Dare what? I'm announcing the woman's passing.
Okay.
Do you remember her from The Sound of Music, of course, the legendary family film that we all watched each and every year, still do, right? Julie Andrews as Frau Maria, Maria. The governess. Liesel was the eldest. She sang, I am 16 going on death. Remember that? remember that song?
I don't remember the end of that.
Well, it's pretty much what happened.
Then updated?
Yeah, she passed away at 73.
She was so pretty.
Okay. Well, all right.
Don't know what to do with
that. No, I'm serious. Yeah. I don't know. You say you watched The Sound of Music.
Yes,
when you see that movie, she is a beautiful, beautiful woman.
She's a 16-year-old in the film.
Well, I know, but she's older than that. The actress was older than that, and she stayed very pretty her whole life.
Sure about that?
Yeah, she's 18 at the time.
Bean says in his defense, even though he doesn't know.
Creepy bastard. Creep.
Well, life goes on. Except for you!
Oh, so much creep.
All right.
Okay.
He's back and he loves death more than ever.
He sure does.
So you're not going to...
I told my wife, by the way, Bean's banned from my funeral.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But I didn't realize you made that decision.
Yeah. I was over the weekend. I said, you know what? When I go, I don't know, next week, week after, whenever it is, right around the corner, I'm sure there's going to be some people who want to show up. And all are welcome, except for Bean. I don't want him there. Because he's going to take too much joy in it. He's going to take too much pleasure in it.
He will be very giddy.
Giddy.
I'd be very, very sad if he died.
And he would come, too. He wouldn't come to my goddamn wedding, but I guarantee you he would show up for a funeral.
Right,
you know he would.
That's the good stuff.
Right. So that's why I'm saying no. You don't get it that way. You don't get to blow off my wedding and then come and enjoy yourself at my funeral, Bean. You don't get to have it both ways.
I'm just trying to pay my respects.
You're not coming. You're not welcome.
If you didn't see Ralph pull up in the Batmobile at his wedding.
Right? You don't get to see me pull up in a hearse at my funeral. Oh, a bat hearse would be cool. Or like the Batmobile with just a flatbed behind it with my coffin on it.
This is really dark.
That's the way to go.
This has gotten
dark. I'm not kidding.
All
Bean
right.
is not welcome.
All
you
right.
all heard me say it.
Right.
And I put this is my final wish. You're hearing my final wish. You can play this tape back.
Are you ending things soon?
I'm right. just like you know.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Look, nothing wrong with preparation.
Right.
Nothing wrong with having your ducks in a row.
Right.
This, you know, my final wish now. No question mark about what... Oh, I wonder what Ralph's final wish would have been. There's no question now.
I feel like there's too much urgency for this point.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
You all know now.
All good? Are you good?
Everybody knows.
Uh-huh.
But we're decades away from this happening.
I want photos at the security booth.
Okay.
You know,
the line through them?
The terrorist situation. Yeah. I want, and it's all on you. You all have to be responsible as well.
All right.
So we'll if you're there, standing there in your black, and you're just looking, you know, at the ground, and you hear, I'm here. I want you all to wheel around.
Do we have a blow dart or something?
And
what do we do?
No. Like, get out.
And then we hit him in the nose with a newspaper?
Yes.
Out of curiosity, Ralph, how did this come up this weekend?
Yeah,
that's
a good question. What exactly were you talking about?
I don't remember.
All right.
Someone had passed. Someone that we knew had passed, whatever. Uh-huh. They were talking about arrangements.
Okay.
They were talking about funerals and stuff.
It's pretty specific, but all right. Yeah. We're all on notice.
And so, you know, the topic just came up of arrangements. And, you know, you start saying, well, you know, this is how I would like it. You know, when I go, this is what I would like. So you start saying, you know, you want to be cremated, you want to be buried. There's the usual questions. Mm-hmm. And my only caveat was... I want Vito on the invitation list. That's all. I want to know who can go and who can't come.
Well, that's hurtful.
Because I know that bastard Bean would love to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just
couldn't be bothered with the wedding. No. Celebrating life? Ugh. No time for that. Death! Now we're talking. Look, you know he'd come.
He'd be so happy.
Son
he'd just be
bitch.
Sitting in the corner just giggling.
Just with a pup tent.
Oh.
Trying to disguise himself. Trying to disguise it with the little program, with the folder, the picture of me on the back. You know, he'd have to cover
like
up.
A fake mustache. Baseball hat. Standing in the corner.
By the way.
Shoulders bouncing up and down because he's giggling.
Stand out at a funeral is to wear a baseball cap, by the way, Kevin. Why is he the worst disguise artist in history?
I just was thinking of a disguise.
Were you?
That wouldn't stick out like a sore thumb. The guy in the back with the baseball cap and the Groucho Marx glasses. Dumbass. Today's celebrity birthday.
I'm still invited, right?
Yeah, you're still
okay,
invited.
Okay, good. You won't be able to find it. How dare you? You'll get lost.
Danielle Panabaker's 29 years old today. Kevin showed up at the wrong funeral. It's all black people sitting there. He's in Compton. I didn't know Ralph was black. I'm so confused. Wrestler Eva Marie is 32 years old. Tonight Show host Jimmy Fallon turns 42. And my good buddy, TV's Batman, one of my heroes, Adam West, celebrates.
I'm Batman, bitches!
His 88th birthday today. Adam's welcome. He's sure for sure.
Hey, would it be okay?
Maybe he'll speak.
Would it be okay, Ralph, if we revisited the time that Kevin broke Adam West's heart on the show? Do you remember that?
I don't feel like.
Of course I do.
We were all having fun right until just now. I don't think that's needed.
Adam West,
tomorrow morning,
damn TV legend is in.
Yes. And I got for 50 years on television.
50 years, right. Yeah. Here's one of the most famous people in the history of the media.
He's deflecting all of the attention away from him right now.
Yeah. Here's how Kevin handled that very sensitive interview.
But on the list of important things that you've done, you peaked in 1960, what was that, over 8? 1969? When was?
Kevin, I don't like your choice of words.
Come on.
You peaked in 1968.
I may have said that better. It's possible that I didn't say it perfectly.
Why would you do that to a person? Why would you do that?
Ralph, look, I'm just lucky to be upright.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beach.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, we continue giving you tickets to the WWE Monday Night Raw at Staples Center, plus qualify for a pair of ringside tickets. And we continue with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. We're giving you tickets for March 7th at the Staples Center, and you're qualifying to see them in a different city every single day. Today is New Orleans. That's all tomorrow morning.